You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Hey, let's talk ATF.
In 1972, a crack commando unit was sent to prison by a military court for a crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the A-Team.
Sounds like they do a lot of good work, but they're awfully difficult to get a hold of.
Yeah. They're not in the yellow pages, I'll tell you that.
We were talking a minute ago how the A-Team came in at number two. A little bit of a surprise. I mean, Jessica Biel is in it, and Bradley Cooper is in it, and Rampage Jackson. I mean, it's a great cast, a beloved franchise. It cost $110 million to make.
Wow.
Worldwide this weekend, it made 41, which isn't a bad start. It could hang on if it plays for a few weeks and get their money back, but it is not exactly the start that they were hoping if they wanted to make this a franchise. There's one person you noticed who was not in the movie, even though, as we understand, he was offered a cameo, and that's the star of the original show, Mr. B.A. Baracus from the original show, Mr. T, who joins us now via phone on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Mr. T. How are you, man?
I pity the fool that answered the phone.
you're the fool that answered the phone.
Yeah, pity me.
Okay,
all right.
It's self-pity. Mr. T, we were just talking about the millions of dollars that the remake of your very popular 80s TV series...
How many did it make? How many millions?
Let's say 40, maybe? Let's say
35? That's a lot of millions.
It's a lot of money. Yeah. I haven't seen the final numbers yet. I think those come in tomorrow. But a lot of people went to see the Mr. T...
I pity the fool. Can't say the name of the movie.
A lot of people went to see the AT movie, not featuring Mr. T, because now you've been replaced by Quentin Rampage Jackson. That must be kind of weird for you to see somebody else play in your character.
It is. I'm B.A. Baracus. I invented that character. Now someone else playing it.
Now,
and they're ruining the A-Team with all the sex and violence jibber-jabber.
Sex and violence, I think, is kind of part of the selling point of it. Don't you think?
But I'll show you to be for the family. I don't about the families. Love your mother.
Yeah.
Mother's the only mother you'll ever have.
So your complaint, then, is that there was no reason for them to deviate from the spirit of the original show, which is, a lot of people shoot guns, but nobody actually ever gets hurt.
That's right. We're about fun and family entertainment, but this is about people dying and sex, mm-hmm. all kinds of sexifying.
Right.
I pity the fool to have sex.
Now, is it true that they offered you a cameo in this movie?
They did, but I knew what was coming.
Yeah. You can't.
So I said, no, I pity the fool to...
You can't say that, Mr. T. I'm sorry. You can't use that kind of language.
Then bleep it, mother...
Okay. And we got to bleep that, too. You understand that, right, Mr. T?
I pity the fool got to bleep me.
So Dirk
My
Benedict...
My prediction? Cursing.
Yes? Okay. Your co-star from the original TV series, Dirk Benedict, who played Face in the old TV show, he does get a cameo. He's in the movie, but just for a very brief time. You're not in it at all, right?
Yeah. He said, all right, I'll do it. Because he was desperate to be back in work and being an actor.
Right.
I'm not desperate. Because I don't care about that stuff. All I care about is families and being good and taking care of your mother.
Yeah.
And
Oh, dear God. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. What did you think about the choice to give Quentin Rampage Jackson your role? Do you think if you're not going to do it, do you think he's a good choice to play that character?
I think he's a good choice. He's a big guy. He looks mean.
Right,
he's
right.
He's got that Mr. T mohawk that they stole from me.
Well, yes. You're not the only guy to ever have a mohawk, but
I am.
You are?
I'm the last of the Mohicans.
It doesn't work like that, Mr. T.
I pity the fool that made that joke.
I pity us.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and it's time to talk about Facebook. I don't know if you've been following any of the controversy. By the way, Kevin Smith joining us in the studio.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hey,
Kevin Smith.
How are you?
You have a Facebook account?
I do. I joined many, many years ago, and I just let everybody join. The idea, I think, is you're supposed to do friends and family.
Right.
And I was just like, come on, everybody join. And I hit a ceiling of 5,000 within like 2 days. And
was
it.
Oh, they won't let you go higher than that?
No, on a personal account. And then they created the Facebook fan page or whatever. And so you can go much, much higher on that. So I have two of those.
Any security concerns?
I don't know. I don't put that much personal information on it, which is odd to say because there are pictures of my child on there. But I'm talking of personal information in terms of credit card numbers and whatnot. Yeah, yeah.
We have a Wired staff writer named Ryan Single who's on the phone with us. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You have written several articles, I believe, on Facebook for Wired.com. Tell us about what is the security concern and why are you calling for other groups to be started?
Basically, I'm trying to say that your online identity is just kind of way too important to be left in the hands of a giant corporation who's, you know, sort of signed you up to be on a service where you got to share some photos with friends and family, and then has decided it wants to be the center of the internet and to be the place where you define yourself online.
So, are they doing something that seems bad? Are they selling personal information? Are they giving personal information that shouldn't be there, or is it just it's just kind of how it works?
No, they've kind of turned some of their privacy policies inside out. So, you know, more and more data, they want you to make it totally public. There's been sort of a steady march of changes, with the biggest one coming in December. And then just a couple of weeks ago, they started shipping your data to third parties like Yelp and Pandora and a Microsoft thing called Docs.com. So when you go to those sites, they've already got your Facebook information, and all of a sudden, you know, Yelp knows who all your friends are.
Everything that you put up there goes to these other companies. Is this a normal thing? I mean, does MySpace do stuff like that?
MySpace doesn't. You know, Facebook's really trying to figure out how to be kind of the center of your identity, so that, you know, everywhere you go on the web, there's a little like button, and you press a little like button, and then your profile gets updated, and or you go to CNN, and all of a sudden you see, you know, pictures of your friends and the stories that they liked. So they're really trying. I mean, they're kind of pushing the envelope on this mm-hmm. stuff, and what they're doing is really cool in some ways. You know, you don't get 400 million users without doing something right.
Right.
I just think it would be really cool. We all got to have our data and own it, and not let Facebook make these decisions for us.
So they can make once you put it up on there, they can make whatever decision they want with your information.
Basically, I mean, they kind of, you know, they have to go through a little process where they change their privacy policy, because, you know, but that thing's gotten huge. It's now longer than the U.S. Constitution.
You said that they turned it inside out. What does that mean?
Oh, well, when most people signed up, you know, the original idea was that you just, you know, were able to share with friends and family. And then, you know, it started off, you actually could only share with people at your college. Mm-hmm. And then if you go and you look at the sort of the default settings, they've just grown so that more and more things are by default public. And in fact, as of last December, a bunch of your information, including your, you know, profile picture and where you live and the list of your friends and, you know, the causes and brands that you like online, all those things are now publicly available information.
And that happened just as of this past December?
Mm-hmm. So before you could hide that stuff, and you can still hide it in your profile, but it's findable online because they consider it to fall in this category of things they call publicly available.
Well, wait a minute. Because you can keep stuff private.
You can, but then but
they can
else
still
can find it.
They can still find that stuff and sell it to other companies.
Well, I don't want to say
doesn't sound very private.
They're not selling any data, but you can. So, you know, say you join a, you know, you come from a conservative Christian family, you join a, you know, a pro-abortion group, and you don't want your parents to know.
Right.
Theoretically, they could find that if they went to the, you know, the pro-abortion sites, you know, a little Facebook page. You're on there, or if some
even if that's private on Facebook, if you have that private on Facebook, they can still go to that other group, and it will be public on there.
Exactly.
And I have to say that I've gone through, I'm on Facebook, and I go through, mostly just for my family and friends, and I go through those privacy settings, and I find them very confusing. And I, you know, I've been hearing about this, and I thought, okay, then I need to change my privacy settings, but it seems like if I change them, then friends who want to find me on Facebook will no longer be able to do that. Is that a choice I have to make?
No, I mean, you can still set things like people who know your email address can find you. It's just hard because there's like 50 settings. You need a master's in computer science to figure out their
Well, and old friends person. Wouldn't necessarily know my email address.
Because you've blown them off.
The biggest default setting you can use, which is just not use Facebook.
Or not
give out that much information. I mean, here's the thing. It's like in a world where you make that information available, it's, you know, it's the old parable from the Bible. You rip open the pillow and the feathers go out, and it's like, try collecting those feathers. If you're going to put that information into the world, even if it's in a quote-unquote private box, that information is now out in the world.
It is.
You
but
just
you
have
would,
to accept
but
that.
You would, but wouldn't you think if you have privacy settings that it would stay private?
No.
You wouldn't think that.
Why? Because the service is free. It's not like we're charging you $10,000 because we're a top-notch private organization where we're going to take care. He's right. It's mainstream, man.
Yeah.
This is like going to use the public water fountain at this point. So that's a lot of people, and they're not guaranteeing anything except
but
here's
the words,
where people could track you down.
The words private settings to me would mean private settings.
I guess we would have to look at I guess we would have to look at how they would define private settings. Like, does that private setting mean private from the entire world, or is it like private, nudge, nudge, wink, wink. You know, we won't let people look at it here.
But we'll send it to...
Yeah, but it's available.
Other groups.
Yeah, yeah.
Is this...
Never put information into the world that you don't want anybody to know. Never put anything into an email, into an iChat. Anytime
Twitter.
I sit there about to write something, I'm like, do I want everybody to know this? Am I okay with everybody seeing this?
That's what you have
that's
to think,
the possibility,
isn't it? I mean, even Google. Isn't there a lot of stuff about Google selling search information, you know, that you search for?
It's a tech that they're only used to for the last, what, 10, 20 years. And everyone's going to try to figure out how to monetize it, all these companies. And even something like Twitter, which is amazing, a giant company everyone's interested in. You sit there going, how do they make money?
Yeah.
And sooner or later, they got to figure out how to make money, too. All these companies do. And I guess this is one stream of revenue where they're just like, well, maybe we can make some of this stuff available.
So if we
the dude's saying that they're not selling that information. Correct?
You're saying they're not selling, they're just giving it?
They're not selling that information. Oh, I mean, what they're doing is they're not, you know, selling your information to, you know, a direct marketing list. So, you know, they might, be charging Yelp a giant fee so that, you know, when you show up, then they'll give them your data. So it depends on what you mean by selling it.
So then if you go to Yelp, then they'll have all the information of the stuff I like, the things I do, the pictures, my friends, that kind of stuff.
Exactly. And, you know, it's not unuseful. Like, you show up and, you know, if there's a restaurant that has 400 reviews and you don't know if, you know, who do you trust, and you can, you know, see the reviews that just come from your friends, you know, that's not unuseful.
Right.
I think that, you know, for me, the point is that it would be nice if there were these sort of, if we had an open service where people had a lot more choices about who controlled their data.
So that you don't give Facebook all of that control. That's what
you're
saying.
Sure. You know, and there's other things too. Like, you guys have a Facebook page, you know, and if I go and I like your, you know, your show, weirdly, I'm not really like, you have a web page too. I'm not liking your web page. I'm liking your Facebook page. And so, you know, they control that page much more than you control, you know, your own web page.
Right.
So wouldn't it be great if you could do the same things you do on your Facebook page, you just do it on your website?
Well, I will tell you this. We have made a big deal out of every single new technology that comes along. It comes along. MySpace was one of the first ones, and then Facebook, and then Twitter. And you see people who think that the stuff they're putting up is private, and then they get fired for it because somebody Googled them or something online. It does always come
it's
out.
Single-handedly created the revenge porn industry. You know what I'm saying? Like, basically, there are people taking pictures from other people's accounts where they put them up thinking, this is private. Now it's available, and then your ex is breaking up. It's weird. I mean, it seems like we've tried to further ourselves from one another and under the umbrella of social media.
Right.
We're not really socializing. You know, I mean, you're talking, you're communicating, but you're not socializing. The still best form of social media has to be pick up the phone.
Yeah.
Call your friend. You
not
haven't
a phone
spoke
person,
to in
though.
A long time.
I'm not a phone person.
But that's the thing. Everyone's like, well, I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to have to talk to people. So I would love to kind of cursory check in on their lives creepily from online. But in order to do that, you may be giving up a lot of vital personal information about, or you are giving up vital
personal. Ryan, are there any good options at this point?
So far, not really, but there's some cool ones coming up. So some four college students out of New York kind of tapped into the zeitgeist, and they've got $180,000 in donations to build an alternative to Facebook.
Skynet.
Cool, yeah, Skynet.
Diaspora is what they call themselves. And then there's a cool one coming out of Europe called One Social Web, and they should have something up this summer. And so,
yeah, I don't trust Europe.
I'd be weird about that.
All right, well, thank you. It's always interesting to find out the limits of what happens with what you put online. Yeah. Ryan Single again, Wired.com writer. Thank you very much for coming
on
the show.
Kevin, thanks for having me on.
You bet.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. We got STP coming up, also Foo Fighters, and the latest from Jack Johnson, his new song called You and Your Heart this hour. Where's Mr. 8-5? What happened to Chad Ochocinco? Where's he? I thought he was...
This hour. We think.
Okay. We're still working on rounding him up.
Supposed to be now, but we'll talk to him in a few minutes. First, though, Psycho Mike had a standoff with an animal at his house, a wild animal.
Uh-oh.
It was crazy. I was coming out of my apartment to go to work. This was middle of last week. And to get to where my car is parked in my apartment complex, you have to go down one corridor. There's no way around it. You have to go down this one kind
the
of corridor.
The one sidewalk.
And it's probably 6 feet wide.
Okay.
Right smack dab in the middle of it is a skunk.
Okay.
Now, a skunk, in and of itself, not that intimidating. It's a small animal, and they're pretty peaceful for the most part.
Yeah, they generally are.
Where I live right kind of by the Rose Bowl, and so it's in the foothills. There's a lot. I always constantly see different animals, you know, when I wake up, especially early in the morning. normally I would just kind of scare it away if it was a raccoon or a possum or even a coyote. You know, you just kind of gesture at it. And
I ran into a possum in my driveway, and it would not respond. I threw things at it and just stood there like, yeah. Is that the best you have?
Well, this skunk was probably came from the same gang that that possum or raccoon was from, because it just stared at me. And right. I didn't know what to do. I kind of froze. I'm like, well, if I get close enough to it, it might spray me.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Now, that's worse than it attacking me.
Oh, that's so bad.
Because I'm saying to myself, if it even kind of just half sprays me, I ain't going to work
for a week.
You can't.
You know, I'm screwed.
Yeah, you smell bad enough already.
So I go back into my apartment, and I grab a towel. I'm like, I'm going to throw this at it because I don't want to hurt the thing. Right. I want it to go away.
Get out of the way so you can go to work.
So I throw this towel at it. It kind of grazes the top of its head but doesn't land on it, and it lands behind it. Still motionless.
Just still looking at you?
So now I'm like, is it even alive?
Is it having a seizure?
Was it staring you down? Was it making eye contact?
If it had arms to fold, it would have folded them and just stood it and stared at me like, what? What you want?
A towel, anyway, really?
Skunks, aren't skunks like raccoons in that their preference is to not hang out and be in contact with humans? They'd rather
that's
just
what
go along the way,
usually,
right?
I see them all the time in my apartment complex, and usually when they even sniff a human, they're off.
They're gone.
They spread. Yeah. This one was a gangster. This one did not care. Staring right at me.
Yeah, throw a towel. That's going to get me to move.
Oh, man, I can't get now near that towel again, so go back inside. Grapefruit. I'm going to bowl it. I'm going to bowl it away.
You're going to bowl it?
I'm going to bowl that grapefruit right at that skunk. It's going to...
So your thinking is that'll roll up slowly on it so it doesn't scare it. No one gets sprayed, but it walks away.
And let's say I do hit it. It's not going to hurt it. It'll just shoo it away.
Right.
Well, even though they look like a circle, they're not perfectly circular... objects,
grapefruits.
So I roll it, and at 1 inch in, it just straight to the left and goes away. Misses it by like 3 feet.
You bowled a gutter?
Yeah. I missed it by 3 feet, and it's still just staring at it.
Did you see it smile or laugh?
No. In fact, I think it was internally chuckling, but it didn't want to give me the joy of seeing it smile.
Okay.
So now I'm really like, what do I do? And 5-10 minutes is going by.
Do you have like a broom or a stick or something long?
Still.
I know, but something long so you can keep your distance. A hose is a great idea.
So,
you can shoot that a long way.
That's a good
call.
What she
said.
I forgot about that. The hose right next to me. So that was my next option.
Okay.
But it's 3:45 in the morning.
Right.
I can't turn on my hose. There's other neighbors right above me. So I don't want to start making noises and stuff. Like,
right.
How much noise does your hose make?
Enough that I feel bad at 3:45 in the morning.
Huh.
You know what I'm saying?
All right. No, but all right. How about a glass of water?
No.
Throw that?
This guy was too tough for that.
Too tough for that.
Yeah. So then I went to the newspaper.
All right. Throw it.
Yeah.
Hit it.
Just read it.
Or read
it
to him.
And
he falls asleep.
Just read it till he fell asleep.
Missed him. Flung it.
Didn't hit him with that.
I was like, I could have been a paper boy. Nope. Wrong.
Wow.
So finally, I said, all right, I'm going to have to encounter. I'm going to have to really get into fisticuffs with this thing.
You got to throw down. At some point, you have to throw down because it won't move.
Go inside to get the broom.
That's what I'm talking
about.
That's
serious.
And I'm coming out of the apartment, Lisa, with this broom. I know I got goosebumps. Because I'm like, now it's time. I'm stepping in the ring.
It's on.
I could be sprayed.
Yeah. It was gone.
What?
What? He was already gone?
It lasted.
Yeah, he's bounced.
Wait, when you went in to get the broom,
that's
and challenge him to battle,
that's he just
left?
To make his move.
He just went, stupid human. I like that's going to happen.
Yeah, but do you guys feel me in that most animals that are, you know, 20 pounds or whatever that skunk was, you just walk right by. And you say, hey, asshole, I got to go to work. A skunk, the threat of the
You don't play with the
no,
skunk.
No, the smell is too strong.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You did the right thing, except for the bowling mishap.
Yeah.
you can't miss it by 3 feet and expect it to respect you.
No.
And go, I better move. This guy means business.
Never found that grapefruit, so I'm assuming he took it to lunch on his way to work. Yeah, that's when he left.
Right.
He's like, yeah, thank you for the lunch.
Okay.
So well, nice skunk one, psycho bike zero at this point.
Yeah. Okay.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tenacious D in our studio 1 hour from right now. In about 10 minutes, we'll talk to an unbelievably hot Kevin and Bean listener named Christy with an I from Ecuador. She's 23, wants to know if she's too young to be dating a guy who's 41. Lucky dude. All right. First, though, let's talk about craps.com, K-R-A-P-P-S.com. This is our absolute best go-to website for all things having to do with apps for your phone. And we are very excited to welcome the editor of Craps, Alex, back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Alex, Happy New Year, man. How you been?
Kevin, Bean, Lisa, Happy New Year to you guys.
Thank
Here's
you.
What I like about Alex, though, is he picks the bad ones and makes fun of them. I love that.
Yeah.
Because there are some really ridiculous apps that people have come up with.
It is unbelievable. I mean, look, I knew we weren't going to run out of apps anytime soon, but the pace at which they are being invented is insane. Alex, how many iPhone apps are now available for folks' phones?
Right. It's funny. I've been with you guys for about a year now, and I think back when we first started, there was like 10,000 apps. I just checked the number. There's over 135,000 applications.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
How many, if you know, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but the average person keeps how many apps on their phone, do you think? I mean, how many realistically can a person use? Is it 20? Is it 50? What do you hear?
Well, you can keep up to, I think there's like 11 pages of apps, so you can keep about 100. I just read a report where an individual basically does use about 3 to 4 apps a day. So, you know, if you're really into it, yeah, you can use about 10 a day, which I do. So, yeah, it's part of your lifestyle.
All right, let's talk about some of the new ones since the last time we had you on. I'm having a problem figuring out the best way to weigh my poop. Do you have anything for me there?
Yeah, absolutely, because that is the age-old question, how much does my poop weigh?
Yeah.
Listen, for 99 cents, what you can do is download. It's called You Poop, okay? And what you do, what this does is actually it will give you the weight of your poop. Granted,
how does it do that? You put it in the toilet? What?
Yeah, exactly. You throw your iPhone in the toilet and poop on it.
Is it just guessing?
It's an estimate. I think this app was actually developed by the guys over at MIT. They put some very, very profound statistical analysis and crunching numbers. And basically, you just enter in what you eat during the day, and it estimates what your poop will be when it
the guys
out.
At MIT are playing a big prank on everyone. For the record.
Well, I'm probably making some money off of it as well.
I'd be more impressed if you took a picture of it, sent it to them, and then they let you know.
All right, get on
that.
That
would be impressive.
Let's get on
and
that.
They can tell you where the nuts came from. Right. But by the way, in the news last week, in the last couple of weeks since the Haiti earthquake, you probably saw the story, Alex, about the guy who literally survived under the rubble because he still was able to get a cell phone signal down there after a couple of days. And he used the first aid app on his iPhone to direct him on how to address the wounds that he had while he was waiting to be rescued.
Right, right. It's a fantastic story. The guy survived 64 hours being buried under rubble. First, what he did was use the light from his iPhone to look at his injuries and to diagnose it. And then, like you said, there was the first aid and CPR pocket app, which allowed him to, like, make, like, a tourniquet, you know, stop the bleeding, keep himself from going into shock, you know, things like that. So, yeah, that was big news.
Yeah, but that's nothing compared to iChug.
No.
Right? What is iChug?
Absolutely not. Lisa, iChug, it's one of those things where, you know how we all chug a beer, we try to get it down as fast as possible?
Sure, I do that all the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. But you never, ever know exactly how fast you're doing it. Sure, you could do a stopwatch, but damn it, it's not accurate.
Right.
So thanks to the iPhone and the accelerometer technology in it, what you do, you put your you launch iChug, you put your iPhone next to your beer, now, and then you hold both of them together, and then you start chugging a beer. So you tilt back your head, you're chugging, boom, you put it down, and then iChug will automatically stop once it senses your bottle goes back to its ready position, and boom, give you a time.
Oh, wow.
So basically, it's just a timer. That's
it. It's an accurate timer,
dude,
Kevin. You
exactly.
Don't understand.
Dude, I mean, it incorporates accelerometer. Come on now.
Well, it has an accelerometer in it.
That's true.
That
does sound impressive.
We are talking to Alex, by the way, the editor of craps.com, K-R-A-P-P-S.com, which has all the latest news and apps, good and bad. What about the ones that claim that they can get your iPhone to do something physical? Are these for real? You got one listed that that says that it can blow air out of the iPhone. There's another one. There's another one that listed that says it'll warm up your iPhone if you want to use it as a hand warmer. Can those work, Alex?
Yeah, they can work, but to a certain extent. What there's an app called iBlower, and
we're talking.
and it's buddy iLap Dance. Anyways. Blower is what the developers did is basically tweak out the hardware inside the iPhone where the speakers are now acting in reverse, so it's so it's blowing out air. And they have this demo video where they like blow out a candle and blow out steam, but you know, in reality, it's a pretty weak air. It's like an ant farting or something. It's not very strong.
It's kind of pointless. Like, what would you ever use that tiny amount of air for? Right,
exactly. Okay. And there's another one called like pocket warmer. So supposedly, if you're skiing or something, you know, you'll launch this app and it like heats up your phone, and then you know you can warm up your hands. But you know what? The reality is, dude, I don't know if I want my phone like all hot stuff because
that's not exactly
a good thing. So
we have spoken in the past about how Apple does the best job they can, or claim they do, to prohibit nudity on the iPhone apps.
Yeah.
Where's that line these days? How naked can you get in an iPhone app?
Okay, so back when we talked, you could basically be in a bikini.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can have pasties, and there's like and on the bottom you can have, I don't even know what the hell these things are called, but it's kind of like a tampon or something on the bottom where it kind of covers the parts.
Good.
So now the big thing, tons of like these pasty apps. You've got little fruit pasties over the nipples and stars and stuff like that. So yeah, that is where you could be right now. You can prance around in pasties in the App Store.
We're getting close, people. We're getting close. All right, we're almost out of time, Alex. What's your favorite app that we haven't talked about yet?
Well, you know, this is actually, it's going to help a lot of the single people. It's tough to get a date and stuff, and you know, when you go to bed at night, you're kind of lonely, and you got nobody to sleep with. So, excuse me. There's an app called Mega Girlfriend. So what you do, you go to bed. You take your iPhone with you, you prop it up on your pillow next to you, and you launch this app, and it's this girl's head. And she's laying there next to you, she's looking at you, winking at you, talking to you.
Oh, dear God.
And she basically falls asleep with you guys, and this way you never have to sleep alone.
So that's pathetic. Okay. But I have to ask, can you run that and the eye blow at the same time?
Actually, dude, I'm going to work on that app.
Put those two together and get back to us.
All right. Krapps.com is KRAPPS.com for all the apps info. Alex, always great to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us here on the Kevin DeBean program.
Thank you all
Thanks,
so much.
Alex.
Have a great one.
This should be fun. Our next guest is an Emmy Award-winning actor, the host, once again, of next year's Golden Globes, and recently made Time Magazine's 100 Most Influential People list. I think they missed the mark on that one, but let's see what he's got to say about it. Ricky Gervais, ladies and gentlemen, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Mr. Gervais,
Hello.
How are you, sir? Thank
Very
you so
well,
much for joining us.
How are you?
You are in Britain today? Is that what's going on?
No, I'm halfway. I'm in New York.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right. Very good, sir.
I'm on my way to L.A. I had to stop off for a rest.
You're going to spend the night there and then come on out?
No, I'm doing I'm playing a couple of nights at Madison Square Garden.
Oh, just that little place.
And I fly. And then I do the Nokia Center Saturday and Sunday. So, really looking forward to it.
Yes, that is why Ricky's on the phone with us. He is playing Saturday and Sunday night this weekend at the Nokia Theater LA Live. You can get some tickets, believe it or not, still at Ticketmaster. Kevin, I believe you've been to see the stand-up before, and you're going back again this weekend, right?
Yeah, going this weekend, went last time. My wife, I think, would leave me in a heartbeat for Ricky and is trying to make that happen. Not that he knows it, but that is the plan. You know what I like about you, Ricky, is really there's nobody here in the States that still drinks heavily while on stage.
What are you saying?
I'm saying you drink heavily on stage.
And he thinks it's good.
You can't drink beer heavily, can you? Because you get too full before you get drunk. I mean, if I was out there with a bottle of Jack Daniels,
right,
then I'd have a problem. But I'm just sipping the odd beer. It's just good for you.
Just a sip in between jokes when you have a little break.
Exactly.
Please tell me that you will never... ever, and this is like one of those things where a rock band has a hit and then they turn their back on it. Please tell me that you will never, ever stop talking about that safe sex pamphlet, which seems to have inspired you greatly.
You know what? I feel guilty about that because it's like I didn't have to add much to it. The comedy was already there. It was laid out for me. I remember when that leaflet came round and I just couldn't believe my luck. I carried it around with me for about 3 months.
Explain to people in radio terminology that we're allowed to say.
I will.
What it is.
Well, it was a Terence Higgins Trust flyer about safe sex, right? Aimed at the last small demographic of gay men who were ignoring safe sex during the big AIDS epidemic of the early 80s, and it was alternatives to a certain form of sexual activity.
Right.
And the suggestions were just remarkable.
It really,
just remarkable.
It's one of those things where you read them and you go, there's no possible way that A, this got written, B, anyone okayed it, and C, anyone put it out.
I know. But the alternatives, I mean, the thing is about the alternatives, they weren't, I didn't even consider them sex. They might as well have said, have a cup of tea.
Right.
Exactly, yeah. You can fill in the blanks and see it for yourself with Ricky Gervais live on stage at the Nokia Theater this weekend, Saturday and Sunday at 8. Again, tickets available through Ticketmaster. You know, I tweeted a little while ago, Ricky, that we were going to be having you on the show and how excited we were, and we've always wanted to have the opportunity to talk to you. And I thought, let's see what Ricky Gervais' fans have for questions for the man. And I was really surprised how many people came back with questions about you and the American version of The Office, which has to happen to you all the time. But that's something that you're not really involved in at all. You pretty much just set that ship off a sailing years ago, but that's not part of your day anymore, is it?
No, the only part of my day is that I wait for the check to come through the door.
Just a giant check, because you made it. How many people?
Giant check to come through the door. For all Steve Carell's hard work.
Well done.
How many people still find out on a daily basis, you know, especially in America, that you're the one that came up with The Office and then this, you know, our version was based on yours?
I don't know, but, you know, I don't think it matters because I know I did it and I don't really have to run around taking credit. And the other thing about it is, you know, whenever I watch the Office, I'm just very proud of it. I'm very proud that, you know, those characters were mine. Joking aside, you know, I am involved. I'm an executive producer and, you know, it's my format. So I do get financially rewarded.
Sure.
But I'm just very proud that they did such a great job because there was a lot of cynicism. Because the sort of the original Office was small in America, but where it made a dent was in the industry.
Right.
And it was a favorite of a lot of A-listers and, you know, producers and directors. It was a press darling. I mean, it was everyone's sort of like favorite little imported show. And so they had a mountain to climb and they did it. They got out of the shadow within the first season, I think. The first few episodes were sort of carbon copies of the English version.
Right.
And then when they moved away from that, it stood on its feet for the last few years. I mean, it's done 120 episodes. And even though the characters are based on mine, you know, they've really made them their own. I know for a fact that Steve Carell, when he got the job, he didn't watch the English version anymore because he didn't want to pick up, you know, traits and symptoms. And he's made it. And it is very different. And the difference, I think, is sort of based on the difference between Americans and Brits, really. You know, they do have a sort of a better work ethic. They have got better teeth. And they are optimistic. People say, what's the difference between American and English comedy? And I think we're all the same, really. Except that, I suppose, in America, celebrate success more and trying hard. In England, we're a little bit cynical. We don't want to be seen to try too hard. We don't want to be seen to get above our station. And that's how we're brought up. Americans are taught they can be the next president of the United States.
Even though
British people,
even though it's not true,
told it won't happen to them.
Right? Hey, in our country, you can be the next president of the United States, even if you're born in Kenya. That's how optimistic this country is, Ricky. All right.
Arnold Schwarzenegger as well.
Yeah, there you go. I know you are very busy this morning and you have to go. There's one question I've always wanted to ask you, though, and I want to use our remaining moments to ask this. You've done so little serious acting work, and I think you're a very, very good actor. Of course, I remember your turn on the Alias TV show. Is this something that you would like to do more of, or have you decided I dipped my toe in those waters and I'm not comfortable, I don't want to go back there?
Well, I mean, I sort of sneak in drama. I mean, with the English version of The Office, and extras, and, you know, The Invention of Lion, and the new film we've done, Sandwich Junction, is an all-out sort of drama with funny bits. We've always snuck in dramatic elements because our comedy comes from sort of realism. And so if you do sort of three-dimensional characters like David Brent or Andy Millman, you can move to drama, and that's always excited us. You know, the romance in The Office, by the end of it, was more interesting to us than, you know, a bit of comedy, sort of knockabout comedy. So I would like to, but you've got to be careful because it's the vanity of the comedian that usually destroys him. That when you start taking yourself seriously, you stop being funny. And, you know, I suppose I know where I am with comedy, but I would like to do a dramatic role. You've just got to be very careful, particularly when you're the auteur. If I were to write myself a part where I'm running around with a gun with my shirt off,
right,
then it's mildly embarrassing. If I was to pop up, you know, and get shot by a villain in a Scorsese movie, yeah, I'd love to do it. Of course I would. But I think you've got to be careful. You know, I do this because I really enjoy it. And my first love is the creative process. There's nothing better to me than sitting in a room with Steve Merchant and coming up with our own ideas. You know, I do loads of fun things. Popping up on The Simpsons, great fun. Doing Sesame Street, so much fun. Popping up in things like Night at the Museum and things like that, really great fun. But I don't count them in my body as work, a work as such. If someone said, you know, what's in your oeuvre, what have you done? I'd say The Office, extras, a couple of movies, and some stand-up.
You would even mention the movie names?
Sorry?
Would you mention the movie names?
I did, you know, Invention of Lion and Cemetery Junction. Yeah. But even Ghost Town, that was my first lead.
Right.
It wasn't really my baby. That's David Kep's baby. I was an actor for hire, really. And so what excites me is what I've created, I suppose. That's my real baby.
And that's what I like about you.
One of those.
That's what I like about you is that you don't take yourself seriously, so that when the curtain opens and it says Ricky in 50 tall foot letters with a lot of lights on it and you come out in a crown.
Some people don't get the irony. You know, there's some British press that go, oh, who does he think he is? I mean, really? They really think I'm Elvis.
Right. Because it is so over the top.
How many more clues I have to give them.
It is so exactly. Over the top. It's hard to imagine that people can't see that, but I guess there are always people out there that can't.
All right, listen, we have to leave it there, Ricky. I hope that our audience has heard this and will fill up whatever remaining seats are left through Ticketmaster.com to see you live and in person.
I'll just say that they've just released 150 tickets each night that are production tickets.
Oh, great.
That they hold back. They're going on sale now.
Okay.
So there's 150 tickets each night.
Saturday night, Sunday night, 8 o'clock at Nokia Theater in LA Live.
Thank you, Ricky. Brilliant. We enjoyed talking to you.
Cheers, man. Bye.
Thank you. Bye now.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. By the way, my little Veruca, one of my little puppies.
Bean's dog, yeah.
Is trouble, as you know.
Right.
And I use this spray on her that I always have on me in the event that she gets a little bit too aggressive or does something she's not supposed to do or, you know, advances on one of the other dogs in an unsafe way. And it's citronella spray, basically is what it is. Mm-hmm. Doesn't hurt her. It's not like macing a dog or anything like that. It's not a taser. It's just a very powerful scent that it just overwhelms her, and she just turns and runs. Yeah. You only have to hold the can up, and she's gone.
It doesn't
she
hurt doesn't them. They just don't like it.
They don't like the smell. Yeah.
Exactly, because it's overwhelming to their sense of smell, which is already very powerful anyway. And I thought, how awesome is that? It doesn't hurt the dog and it's super effective. Why can't they do something like that for humans? Well, what do you know about that? It looks like that's happening. It looks like that's the new face of warfare. Am I right?
Have you ever read Pepper Sprayed Bean?
I never have.
Oh, it's so fun.
Of course, Kevin has.
It's good. It's coffee and your eyes start watering and it's good times. It's really good times. But in India, Bean is right. They're starting to do some research and they're trying to weaponize things that maybe they hadn't thought of before.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular one, like Bean says, is non-destructive. It's just pretty much like pepper spray. Well, you pretty much just have to run from it. And it's made out of chili.
Oh.
The Indian military has a new weapon against terrorists, the world's hottest chili.
Dude.
So
I could definitely see how that could be a weapon.
They have created chili grenades.
Oh, my God.
So basically, you would throw it. It would explode with chili. It's so hot that it's just like pepper spray. You have to run, close your eyes, whatever.
Oh, my God. You'd be completely debilitated, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would think so. It's in the Guinness.
How hot is this chili?
It's hot, B. Well, they measure it in something called Scoville units, which I don't know what that is. That measures the spiciness of something. And they did say that jalapeno peppers measure from 2,500 to about 8,000. Yeah. This is a million.
Oh,
yeah.
You'd feel that.
You'd feel that a lot. Yeah. So we had Alex, our producer, get us in touch with the Defense Research and Development Organization. I believe we have someone on the line named Arby Srivastava. Am I saying your name correct, sir?
You did pretty well, actually.
Okay, thank you.
How are you?
All right. Are you a Mr. Srivastava or Dr. Srivastava?
I am a doctor, but you can call me Mr.
Okay.
I don't know why I would do that, but all right. All right, doctor. So, did we...
So getting that doctorate has really paid off.
A doctor in India only makes you qualified to do customer service for Dell, so don't worry about it.
Okay, I understand. All right, so were we accurate in our description of the world's hottest chili pepper?
You got it. It sure is hot.
This isn't exactly chili pepper. This is actual chili, and you figured out a way to weaponize it.
Correct. Okay. We have made a condensed powder of what is considered to be the hottest chili in the world, grown in the northeast of India here.
Okay.
And
okay.
When it turns into a noxious gas, it makes you useless in battle.
Okay.
Because you are rubbing your eyes or tending to your burning skin.
Oh, man.
Okay. So how is it delivered? What do you put it in? Some sort of a bomb?
Correct. We use it in grenades, handheld bombs that soldiers can throw. It is very, very effective non-lethal weaponry.
Well, that's a good direction to go. I mean, it is nice to see that you can disable a person without killing them.
Considering the population problems and terrorism that we have in India, we are really pushing to develop a lot more non-lethal weaponry so that we don't have to open fire in the riots and protests that we have almost every day here in the big cities of India.
Okay. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Makes sense. This is fascinating research. What are there some other things that you're working on, or is this the be-all to end-all?
As you can hear,
there's a jacuzzi.
There is bubbling in the back, which means I'm in a laboratory.
A laboratory, I'm sorry.
Okay. Right. I'm developing other weapons as we speak.
Okay, other than the chili grenade, what else?
Well, have you ever had the feeling that you left your iron or perhaps your pilot light on?
The iron, I have done
that. Yeah, but the pilot light is supposed to stay on.
Yeah.
It's very distracting. Good point.
Like, if it's off, you have a problem with the pilot light.
Omar liked that one.
Wait, Omar's with you?
Yes, right. Omar Sripranhampa is my assistant here in the...
What's his last name?
Sripranhampa.
Okay.
All right, well, let's just stick with the iron then. So what happens? We leave our iron on at home, and then what?
It's very distracting. You can't fight that way.
Right.
I made a bomb that makes you believe that.
You made a bomb so that if I'm a soldier,
you're a crazy terrorist, and you've come to you say, "I hate you, Muslims. I'm going to bomb you." But did I leave that iron on? I don't know. And then you run away, and you probably call someone or go back to your house.
Have you tested that one?
No, it's only in developmental stages.
I see. Okay.
Along with my underwear is crammed up my ass. Bomb. Now, have you ever had that feeling all day?
Oh, yeah.
A certain pair of underwear you wear, it, it's like just a little bit. You're like, is it crammed up my ass or is it not? Right. So you have to keep reaching down, but you don't want to do it in public.
Right.
So you go to the bathroom.
Right.
And then you check your underwear crammed up your ass. It's impossible to fight that way.
Right, but
you can't fight if you got a wedgie, sure.
How are you making a bomb that makes me think that I have a wedgie?
That's a secret.
Okay. Giving that away.
What about the bomb that makes you feel like you've got a piece of food stuck in your teeth, but you just can't get it out? So you spend all day with your tongue playing with it in the back of your mouth.
I do hate that.
That's terrible, right? Lisa May? Lisa May, it's terrible.
It's awful.
Yes, and you can't get it out, and you don't have a toothpick handy. And you just keep playing with it and playing with it and playing it with your tongue. And then perhaps when no one's looking, you bite your fingernail or get something that you can poke through to try to get it out.
Sure.
And you spend all day, you're consumed.
Right.
Try to battle like that.
I think you have solved the world. On terror. Well done, Doctor.
Thank you.
All right, we've all heard that. Let's move on. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's 941.
Rondo looking. Gets it to Pierce. Pierce turns back out. Rondo fakes. Dribbles. Puts up the three. Won't go. Rebound to Saul. Kicks it out to Odom. Odom throws it ahead. The Lakers repeat back-to-back titles. The LA Lakers, the 2010 NBA champions.
And there is not one person on this planet that's happier about that than Ron Artest, number 37.
Ladies and gentlemen, there he is. There's the true warrior. How are you, Ron?
Yes, there he is. Great. Now, I still didn't go to sleep yet.
Now, you haven't been to bed yet. Good.
MVP, baby.
I heard that you went out to dinner in your uniform. Do you still have your uniform on?
I got my uniform on right now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen.
I saw Chris Brown yesterday. He got the shirt that I had on in the game. He asked for it, so I gave it to him.
Oh, how about that? Listen, Ron, this is Kevin and Bean here, and of course we've had you on before, and it's great to talk to you again. Congratulations. I want to let you know the other voice is David Alan Greer, comedian and actor, is also in studio. He's a huge fan of yours, and he's sitting on the call for us, too.
What's up, Ron? Okay. I'm on my way to get an Artest jersey now.
Wow.
You were the MVP of that game, brother.
Wow, that's crazy. But it was so crazy because it was on our floor, game 7, and we don't know if we're going to win or lose because there's nothing going our way. So we just had to kind of relax and stay poised, and then we just somehow pulled it out. It was just amazing. It was unbelievable.
Ron, after the game when they were interviewing you, you said, and I thought it was kind of funny, that everybody, including the coach, was telling you don't shoot. Phil Jackson said, don't shoot the ball. How does that not make you lose your confidence? You hit that three-pointer near the end of the game that we wouldn't have won without.
Earlier Phil didn't want me to shoot, but later he gave me more confidence, and coach gave me more confidence. You know, I felt like nobody could really stop me, or I could do anything on the court. You know, when coach tries to give me confidence, you know, to shoot the ball. So I actually, you know, he did give me some confidence. I was kind of making big jokes about it, but
did it hurt your feelings?
But the fans kind of sometimes was like, you know, they don't know if I should shoot or not. So it was kind of crazy, but the ball went in.
It sure did.
but Ron, look, you're a professional. You have to know how nervous people get when you get the ball, because sometimes you make decisions that are baffling to the fans. More times than not, it does work out for you, though.
But it worked out a lot for me. I'm just not a perfect player, you know, so you'll see sometimes in crucial moments where I might mess up, but sometimes I'm capable of coming through. If people will just, like, relax and let me play, I think I'm capable of helping in a clutch situation. But people's not used to seeing me, you know, do that. So yesterday gave me a chance to build on next year, so people know when I have the ball late, I can attack, get some fouls, get hand ones, you know, hit some shots. I'm not afraid, and so they'll feel more relaxed. So next year, I can see me having a better year.
There you go.
Right.
At different points in your career, Ron, you actually have been a very, very effective offensive player, specifically, you know, your time in Chicago and at Houston. In coming to the Lakers, a team with world-class offensive players like Powell and Kobe, did that put a knock in your confidence in what you want to do on the offensive side of the court?
Not necessarily. I think just the lack of confidence sometimes, and the lack of confidence people show in me. Sometimes, and it was like, you know, when people don't show confidence to you, you know, it's kind of hard, you know. But then when they do show confidence, it's like, wow, you know, I'm able to do anything. I'm untouchable. And once people started to show more confidence in me, you know, and I was like, wow, I'm going to show people what I could do now.
How many phone calls you been on since the game ended last night? And how many times have you called Queensbridge?
Well, you know, like, I shut my phone off from all my friends because I was trying to focus for the playoffs. So I haven't spoken to any of my friends at all.
See,
any of my friends at all for this whole playoff. So I guess I'm going to have to give everybody my new numbers. And then, but they was also happy. A lot of my friends was crying and stuff like that. It was crazy.
Hey, we were all crying. We were so happy for you last night, and you were just bursting with emotion in that post-game interview. I mean, I mean, this is something that you've probably dreamed about since you were old enough to know what a basketball was, right?
It was. And it ended so crazy, like in a game 7 with the two most talked about franchises, you know, NBA history, and then it ended just like that, and it was a game. It wasn't like a blowout. It was a real game.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow.
It had to be, I mean, as a fan, it was really worrying me that we were behind the whole game. You had to be saying, man, it's three quarters and we're still behind. This is rough.
I was worried, and what happened was I said, okay, no matter how worried I am right now, it's fourth quarter, only about 6 minutes left. I got to just play basketball, and I got to still play with passion, but I guess if we lose, I can't lose not playing basketball, meaning I can't lose with emotion. I got to lose playing basketball.
Playing the best you can, right?
No, yeah, playing the best you can, and we won.
I have a clip from the post-game in a press conference. And it's fantastic. First of all, you demand to be recognized, which I love. Some of the press were like typing on their computers or something. And then you brought up your whole family, and I thought that was great. Here's a clip.
Hey! Hey, all over there on your laptop! Acknowledge me, please. Hey. There you go. Yes. Please. Look at my family. God, look at my family. Come on, man.
Oh, that was so great. And then you brought up your whole family. And then you brought up, like, your brother, and then your brother's neighbor, and everybody that's ever known you.
Everybody, the whole neighborhood, everybody got a chance to get some shine. It was fun.
That was awesome.
So what happens now? Is there a big parade, Ron? Is that what they're talking about?
Oh, man, I heard it's going to be a parade or something like that, huh?
They usually do, yeah. I don't know any of the details yet, but...
I think they're talking about Monday. I know they're working on that right now. And how about you? I mean, now that you're done for the season, what do you spend your summer doing, Ron?
I mean, I'm ready to get back in the gym right now. I can't wait to get back in the gym.
Well, you should sleep first.
It feels so good. Like, I just want to go to the gym. I can go to the gym right now. I'm working out.
Right, but
you don't want to take that uniform off?
No.
I'm saying, A, take off the uniform, and B, sleep. Maybe get a little rest.
And I might relax a little bit.
Well, I got to tell you, you made a lot of people happy last night.
Yes. Yeah.
Hey, congratulations, champ.
Thanks, LA.
Congratulations,
thanks, LA,
man.
I appreciate it. Sticking through it. I appreciate it so much. And I want to come down, hopefully, in the next couple of weeks, come down to the station and see what's up.
We would love that.
Hey, we want you to do that. And even before that, get your people to send over your single. We want to start playing your song here, all right?
Oh, thank you so much. Yes, we'll do that ASAP. We'll be working on it. And it was done, but then Dr. Dre heard a couple of things, and he's actually fixing up the record right now. So it's sounding better. So it's great.
All right, get it on over here. Ron, congratulations, man. Thanks, as always, for joining us on the Kevin Bean Show. We love you, dude.
Take care.
Thank you, man. Wow.
Yeah.
Who has to see that single?
Well, I can't wait to hear that.
By the way, Ron, be sure to have your people send over your modeling pictures. We're all waiting to see those fancy male model pictures.
No, he plugged his song. He said he had a single out. Yeah. He plugged it out last night, and I thought, I got to hear this. Like, I got to hear Ron Artest singing a song called Champion. It's going to be awesome, right?
Dr. Dre's working on it, by the way.
I'm going to say there's probably not a lot of what we'd say true rhyming going on, but maybe stream of consciousness.
I don't care what he does at this point.
And I said, anyway, Queensbridge, baby, make my day.
I got to tell you, after watching a lot of sports, it's been a long time since you see someone that's that just
touched.
Happy and touched and can
like
barely...
Just genuinely letting it all
yes.
out.
Yes. Yeah. Everybody else has been to so many press conferences, and they're all so tight, you know, buttoned up and everything, right. And it was so refreshing just to see him go crazy.
Yeah. It was good to also love Kobe that. When he said, you know, I was tight. I really wanted it so much. You could see that. Ron Artest was the only one who was playing with freedom.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's
freedom.
Right, yeah.
Enjoy.
And I'm going to tell you something else, too. I still get geeked out when we talk to athletes who have accomplished amazing things like that. I mean, it's great to have other kinds of people on. Nothing against actors. I mean, what you guys do is incredible too, David.
Whoa. Broadway probably less than
real acting, but it's such a thrill to talk to a guy like that. You know, a few hours after he wins the championship of the world, too. I just
still
love
in the
that
uniform.
So
12 hours later, still in the uniform.
Still in the uniform.
I love that.
2 weeks later, still in the uniform.
Ron, something's a little gamey. Something smells a little woodsy. I'm gonna take those shorts off. Not here.
That is a fantastic way to end a fantastic Absolutely. Week. So thanks to everybody for listening. Don't miss our friend David Alan Greer on stage at the Improv in Irvine, one of your favorite rooms to play. Two big shows tonight, two big shows tomorrow night, and then doing cleanup on Sunday, too. Go to improv.com to buy those tickets. Dag, have a great time this weekend, man. Always great to see you, buddy.
Thank you so much. And in closing, I want to say things I've learned today. Okay. Number one, your show ends at 10.
Yes.
Didn't know that.
You didn't
really?
Know we ended at 10?
After 47. I heard it. I thought it ended at 9. That's why you're bringing me later, because you didn't like me.
It did for a while.
Yeah.
In your defense,
this isn't on the air, Dag.
Oh, okay.
We're not on the air right now.
Oh, good.
This is just for us.
Cool.
Yeah. Hey, wait a minute. Were we on the air or not on the air?
We were.
Oh, yo!
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Megan Fox, what do you have? Weird thumbs.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I don't know what's happening.
Roll another one.
I'm Carson Daly, and I'm a massive tool.
Just like the other one.
Hey, don't judge my disability.
This one seems to be about to quit.
You're an idiot asshole.
And I need another hit.
Say, man. You got a joint?
No, not on me, man. It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
Roll another one.
He has warts on his genitals.
Just like the other one.
He's gonna wanna put some ice on that.
This one seems to be about to end.
Holla, beach out.
I don't have another cent.
Somebody's gonna have to give us some booty. And it just ain't simple.
She blinded me with boogers.
Just pass it around.
Today I'm so excited.
Well, don't hold on that joint, my friend.
Dominion Pride, huh?
London. Well, just pass it on down.
Hey, all the way over there on your laptop. Acknowledge me, please.
What's the time, man? Oh, heck. You guys better go. You'll be late for your gig.
Pack up. Get the f*** out.
I'm going to stop this because this isn't working.
Instantly, I regret saying that. That was a horrible thing to say. And I'm very upset with how I'm acting right now. I just have a very hard time expressing my emotions, and I can't stop from yelling. So I'm very sorry, but I'm just very upset right now. So I'm going to go ahead and go. But I'm not going to stop yelling because then that'll mean I lost the fight. So please leave a key under the mat. I love y'all very much. Peace out.
Hello, my name is Johnny Knoxville, and I'm here to introduce you to four very delightful friends of mine, the Dootsons, who take it from me, do some very stupid stunts and pranks. Here they are, the Dootsons!
The Dootsons in America on MTV. It debuts Thursday night at 10. We are delighted to welcome them back to the studio. Ladies and gentlemen, the Dootsons are here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And the Dudesons look a little injured since the last time we saw the Dudesons. What are you wearing there, dude? What happened?
Well, you know, this my very, very, very nice full body brace, back brace.
It's a full body back brace. What, you broke your back? What happened?
Yeah, that was our fourth day of shooting when we first started filming on January.
Your fourth day?
Fourth day, yeah. That was an intentional car crash through a semi-truck trailer. That seemed like a great idea.
Well, nobody, in your defense, no one could expect you would get hurt intentionally crashing a car into a trailer. I mean, who could see that coming, right?
I thought it was a walk in the park.
The Dudesons, for those of you that haven't seen them, it is like Jackass, only they do the stuff that Jackass says, no, that is probably going to hurt us.
Right.
And the Dudesons go, we're in. Some of the stuff on the trailer for this show just look just insane.
Yeah, we want to talk about some of the things we'll be seeing on the MTV show, but let's back up to the car crash for a second because this might be a great place to start to figure out how your mind works. First of all, where does the idea come from that we're going to put ourselves in a car crash?
Well, I want to go back a couple more days. You know, this is how we started. We came to U.S. The second day of shooting, one of us broke his ribs. The fourth day of shooting, Yarpy broke his back. L1 vertebrae, he's been wearing that back brace for 3 months now. Sixth day of shooting, I busted my tailbone and I broke my ankle. So that was 6 days of shooting.
Now after 6 days, do you go, maybe we need to back off just a bit.
We got 55 more days of shooting. Whoa, guys.
Wow.
How fast were you going in the car crash?
Tell us, describe
pedal
it.
To the metal.
Describe it. You went through a what? A tractor trailer?
Yeah, the semi-truck trailer. Like, I was sitting in an SUV, looking the trailer, semi-truck in the eyes, like, bring it on.
Right. Okay. And you know the trailer wasn't looking back, right?
Pedal to the metal, off a kicker, through the back of the truck.
Now, did you have extra padding? Apparently not. Any kind of... Well, I mean, really?
Everything I had didn't obviously work.
Wow.
I guess this, like so many other ideas, worked perfectly on paper, but not so well in real life.
Right. But that one wouldn't have been a tough one to look at and go, this might go terribly wrong. Right? Well, even on paper, you look at it and go, this is going to be funny, but it might not work.
At the moment, we were still optimistic. Maybe this will work in the U.S. because it is the land of opportunities. Maybe, you know, things work so much more perfectly here.
Sure. Maybe for once. So you can pull this off.
You wouldn't do it in Finland, but because it's America, you're going to try it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have, are there backup Dudesons for if somebody gets killed in the line of duty, someone else is ready to step up and take that place?
About 5.5 million other Finnish people.
Yeah, everyone else in Finland.
Yeah. We can always start shipping them here in the U.S. once we start getting hurt too much.
Replace one of you.
Next.
I'm so surprised that MTV would sign off on these tricks, though. I mean, I imagine the insurance must be incredible on a show like yours.
Well, thank God we don't see the insurance bills. But here's the thing that I'm surprised about. In Finland, we got blacklisted by every single insurance company.
Right.
In here, let's say four weeks ago, I ended up burning my face. I got all these second-degree burns on my face, and my eyes were swollen shut. I looked like a Freddy Krueger back then. But the next day after I got out of the ER, I had a stretched limo from the insurance company waiting for me outside my apartment, and they took me to a burn center to a specialist.
Wow. How
and
about
like,
that?
Wow, if the insurance companies work like this over here, I love this country. Thank you, Uncle Sam. Thank you, Uncle Sam.
They don't, by the way.
I honestly think that the limo was sent by the hospital that we all visited because we were so good customers.
Yeah, well, it's repeat business.
They thrive on that.
Out of the 10 episodes we filmed so far, we got 5 trips to the hospital so far.
How did you burn your face?
I was standing on top of this 30-foot tower. Yarpy drove a tank through it, and we had all these explosives on the side of it.
And you were just standing on top of it?
Yeah, I was standing on top of it, and while Yarpy drove through it, it just, like, crashed and fell into pieces.
Right.
And me, up on the roof of it, fell inside the flames and the fireballs.
Okay,
and
can I say something? That, on paper, is a failure. you write that down. You go, let's write this down. Is he going to run a tank? I'm going to be on top, and I'm going to fall. That, on paper, doesn't work.
Well, you know, we're not a good drawer.
What?
So it looks good. There's a man, like a stick guy, standing on a box.
And he didn't get hurt.
But even the stick guy dies. I mean, there's no way this is a good
plan. But it was a really nice drawing.
All right.
The Dudesons in America debuts this Thursday night at 10 on MTV. We have to take a quick break. When we come back, we want to find out about the Dudesons trying to build themselves a rocket to go into space, Kevin.
Yes.
And I also want to hear more about standing on top of a building that is imploding. It's a miracle that any of these guys are alive to come back and join us on the program. But we will hear those stories from the Dudesons when we return after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. The Dudesons in America debuts this Thursday night at 10 on MTV. I'm on the Dudesons website right now. They're here in the studio with us. And I'm looking at some of the video clips from the show, guys, and I'm starting to feel better about the choices that I make in my life. This clip of them, they're putting nails through your ears, and you all have a board. You're all connected to a board through nails through your ears. What's this? Where's this headed? What are you doing with this?
Human centipede.
That's a Finnish way of getting an ear piercing. You got a nail through the ear.
Wow.
All right. We don't have a lot of time, but we have so many questions for you about some of the things that we've just been teased with about the new season. I mentioned you're standing on top of a building that implodes. Now, usually they clear out miles around a building that implodes just in case something goes wrong. But you guys are standing on the building as it goes down. Tell us about that.
This isn't a house either, by the way. It's a huge building.
Yeah. Like a 7-story building.
Yeah.
You know, once again, like we talked about earlier, it looked great on paper.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we've seen these clips from Las Vegas, how they blow up casinos and how smoothly it comes down.
Right. And you know what
the idea came, like, hey, you could definitely stand on top of it.
Yeah, have a smooth ride on the roof.
So one person says that, and then everyone else goes, yes?
Yeah, let's get dynamite.
Let's get Yarpy to do it.
Yeah, but, so, you know, like you can see from the clip that once the dynamite goes off, the roof doesn't come down. Instead of it collapses underneath me and it feels inside.
Okay, can't really say that. Can't really use that word.
I don't blame you for using that word, though.
Sorry about that. I apologize.
No worries.
Did you think that you were just gonna ride the roof of the building down to the ground smoothly, like you're on a skateboard or something, or what?
That was the idea.
And then land on your feet and high five everybody.
Plus, I had the safety rope.
Right.
There was a safety rope, but what was it connected to?
A grain on the side.
Okay.
Yeah, it was basically so that right before he hits the ground, he would just stay hanging on the safety rope.
Okay, now does the safety rope stop stuff from hitting you on the head?
No.
Not that safe.
Not even a little bit, right.
Yeah,
right.
That was when I was just about, when I pushed the button and the building exploded, I'm like, I see Yarpy fall inside the building. I'm like, oh, poop, this is the worst case scenario right here. Right now happening.
All right. But part of you said, awesome, because this is going to make the show.
Yeah, no, great TV. Stay alive.
Now, did you get injured that time?
What's that?
Did you get injured that time?
Oh, yeah. I broke a couple of my ribs. I got a concussion and
ripped
my finger. Not this one.
You deserve
this,
that. You deserve
that.
That one's gone. How'd you lose the thumb wrestling a bear or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know the story.
I do, but I'm just double checking it.
Okay.
checking if the story changed.
Yeah.
During the song with the Dudesons in the studio on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about Dudesons in America, their new show on MTV, Kevin asked, do you ever film stuff that is awesome, you love it, but it doesn't make the TV show? And how does that feel? And you were telling us a story about a bit you did at a diner this week that may not make it onto the air, maybe an extra, that sounds hilarious yet painful. What happened?
Yeah, yesterday, because we do overshoot a lot, because we've had a lot of ideas for this season, and we've been having a lot of fun with them. So yesterday, we were at that old school diner where you actually serve food on rollerblades inside the cars.
Mm-hmm.
And I had 6 electric shock devices attached to me all over my body. And I was trying to serve the people in the cars while the guys were having way too much fun zapping me all over the place.
So any of them could yeah. And all 6 yeah. of them would go off?
All yeah, 6 yeah. of them would, like, at the same time.
Whenever you can rollerblade it out of the diner, we're like, he's not going to make it to the car.
Yeah,
make sure.
Now, at some point when you get close, do you dive for the car?
And there's nothing you can do because they're attached to you. Like 300 electric shocks later, I'm feeling dizzy and lightheaded. And I'm like, I stop, and I'm still going down on the ground like having a seizure
paralyzed.
Or something. The guys get out of the car like, are you all right? Are you getting it? What's
no,
going
they
on?
They wanted their food. That's what happened. Those guys were pissed.
You dropped my hamburger.
Now, you said that might not make it.
That might not make it.
What? What do you have to do?
What do you have to do?
I don't know. I mean, we raised the bar pretty high this season, so.
Tell us about the ski ball, because the ski ball was a bad idea. That, on paper, looks bad.
Yeah, one of the episodes, we actually went to Florida, to Old Town, and because amusement parks is an American thing. We wanted to come up with the ultimate Dudesons ride for amusement park.
Okay.
And one of the games we thought of as a good idea is to get one of the guys, you know, the old school skeetballs game,
mm-hmm.
but instead of shooting it into a basket, you'd have a guy sitting there, and you have a bowling ball, and you get to throw the bowling ball at the guy's balls.
And there's a round container like they have at skeet, and when you do skeet, that's leading the ball right to the balls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
That doesn't seem good. And you said, who was that?
That was Yarna, because that's the kind of idea. He had 2 broken ribs, and he couldn't really do that many big stunts at the moment, so we decided that that's a great idea for him to do, because all he has to do is sit down and enjoy the skeet balls of pleasure.
So his balls are always open for business.
Yeah.
Even if nothing else is.
Yeah, nice way for him to relax and recover. Oh my God, you guys. Please let this be the last season, because you will die if you do another one. Come on.
You know what we said? Because in Finland we had all these huge crazy ideas that we could never do, and now that we came to America, we got MTV behind us, we got Johnny Knoxville, Jeff Tremaine opening the doors for us. Oh, boy, we've been in trouble, because we can actually, you know, do some of the wildest dreams we've had.
And now you're going to go back. The next time you rethink it, you're gonna think, when you're writing out your ideas, all right, listen, if we actually can do this,
yeah.
Maybe we shouldn't do that thing where I fall into a tank of fire or whatever it is. Burn my face.
It's incredible. Some of the stuff that's coming up on this new season, we don't even have time to get into. Running from a bull while on stilts, for instance, at a rodeo is
that
one.
That was awesome.
Oh, yeah, and that bull, actually, the name of that bull was Body Bag.
Body Bag.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Body Bag. The name wasn't as bad as the bull was.
Get like a grandpa bull and just make it look bad?
Asking for, but Johnny Knoxville knew this guy, Gary Lafeu, who's a legendary bull rider.
Right.
And, you know, once Johnny Knoxville introduced us to that guy, he's like, oh, yeah, I know, Johnny. I got perfect bull for you guys.
The meanest bull in the world
Actually, how he introduced the bull to us was, well, his name is Body Bag, but don't mind about the name. He's actually worse.
Unbelievable season ahead, guys. Dudesons in America debuts Thursday night, May 6th. That's this week at 10 on MTV. It's always great to have you guys in all the way from Finland. Thank you so much for stopping by the Kevin and Bean Show.
Rock and roll. Thank you, guys.
And stay alive.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. I got to be honest, I'm still a little surprised by the list that Ralph did yesterday during his showbiz report. Lisa, remember when he was talking about America's most loved spokes creatures?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Not people, not humans that they hire to do advertising campaigns, but inanimate objects. And he had, the Forbes list that he was quoting from, that Ralph had, had the M&Ms at the top, at number one, the most beloved of all. I never would have thought of that. The M&Ms. They leave this review cold.
Listen, it is a little shocking. But what's
I mean, they have their own story. When we were in Times Square last year in New York, broadcasting for the MTV Video Music Awards, remember, Lisa, in Times Square, there's an M&M's store there where you can go in and buy, like, plush characters of the M&M's.
There's an M&M candy museum in Las Vegas. But that's beside the point.
What's
shocking to me is that your guess was the Claussen Pickle Bird.
Which turned out to be wrong.
Which wasn't even the last thing
anyway.
Never crossed my mind.
Lisa, Ralph, and I almost fell out of our chairs. Yes. Just the disbelief that you would even come up with that.
The Vlasic stork. The stork that, you know, the Groucho Marx, stork that the Vlasic pickles.
Oh, well, how about the Vlasic pickle bird?
Well, we were trying to guess some of the other ones on the list. Pillsbury Doughboy was number two on the list. Tony the Tiger was three. Mrs. Butterworth. Too bad Kevin wasn't here.
All right, give us some background on Mrs. Butterworth. Is she a slave woman?
The Geico Gecko, by the way, was number five on the list among the most popular of these spokes creatures. Now, I would have thought that was number one because it just seems like everybody loves those little geckos, right?
But yeah, I thought not. So too. Yeah, I was surprised.
Aunt Jemima, the Kool-Aid pitcher, was on the list. Mm-hmm. Snap, Crackle, and Pop were in the top ten. But yeah, you're right. There was wasn't exactly a lot of the Vlasic pickle story. All right, hang on. We got. Let's take one call on line six, please. Here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about this list from Forbes Magazine. Hello.
Hello, is Bean there?
This is Bean.
This is the Vlasic Pickle Stork. I just want to thank you so much for thinking of me. No one's even gave me a thought since in 30 years no one's been talking about me.
How is the Vlasic Pickle Stork listening to the show?
I'm a big fan of the show. I listen to it over in Los Angeles doing some new commercials. Oh, that's a crunchy pickle. That's the crunchiest pickle I ever heard.
Well, I mean, I guess thank you for the call. I was just thinking you might be on the list. I thought you might be more popular than you are, I guess.
Well, we certainly should be, because these Vlasic pickles are so crisp.
I understand. They're quite crisp.
They're crisp and delicious. I love a good pickle. I'll take a pickle in almost any orifice.
Oh, wow. I've been roaming around, always looking
down at all I see. 106.7 K-Rock, it's K-R-O-Q. Sorry.
You okay
Sorry.
Over there?
I'm joking. It's 8 minutes after six.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show with some Jimmy Eat World for you later this hour. Also, The Offspring, who are in studio, by the way, working on a new album right now. And the new one from STP, whose new album comes out in a couple weeks. All that's coming up. Lisa, you getting by okay? Do you need us to send over food? Or is there anything
fine.
Some time off? Or,
no, everything in my life is good.
Your friends staying with you? Or
no, why would I need that?
Well, I mean, when someone's parent dies, it can be very rough. Sometimes it's difficult
Whose
to get through.
Whose parent died?
We heard in your Pro Flowers commercial that your mom had died.
That your mom is gone.
No, I didn't.
Here's the commercial.
I didn't say that. Hi, it's Lisa. You know how they say that you never appreciate something until it's gone? Well, I'm doing my best to make sure that that is not the case with my mom. I realize that we're all getting older. One of these days, she's not going to be here. So I really do try to spend as much time with her as I can.
Now, that was like, I don't know, yesterday or 2 days ago.
Yeah.
So, right. So you saw her as much as you could before she passed. Right. And you feel like you got a chance to say goodbye. And that's great. But now you've got to start thinking about, you know, how you're going to go on without a mother. And I know that's difficult for you.
My mom is still alive. She's fine. She's fine.
Well, what was the commercial about then?
Well, because we're all getting older and one day she won't be fine.
Right.
But she's fine
right now.
She's
fine now.
Yeah, she's fine.
Prove it.
She's good. Okay, let's talk to my mom.
Hotline to heaven. Let's dial it up right now. See if we can get her.
I don't think she'll
from
answer
a cloud.
There.
What? She went to heaven. You said your mom went to hell?
What?
Where's your mom?
Well, she did have quite the life.
Oh, is she? You're saying she's on the phone?
Yes, she's on the
phone.
Right.
All right, kill the hotline to heaven. Let's. Lisa's mom, Letty, apparently joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Letty. How are you?
Well, I'm just fine, but you have me in the grave.
We don't.
We don't. Your
I
daughter's.
Didn't know it was bad.
Your daughter has you in the grave.
That is.
Oh, no.
Oh,
no.
Yes.
Listen,
if
Mom.
If she doesn't want me to die, then she couldn't go to Cabo anymore.
There you go.
Oh, there you go.
My mom is my ticket at Christmas to Cabo.
How about that? She's holding the Cabo over your head.
Yes, she is.
But Mom, first of all, thank you so much for coming on. It's an absolute delight to talk to you. But we got the feeling that if you weren't dead, that in the way the commercial sounded, Lisa was kind of like pushing you in that direction. It's almost like she's got a watch on and she's just counting down the minutes until, you know, sweet death. I mean, it kind of creeped us out a little bit, to be honest.
Well, I find that very difficult to believe. She is my most perfect daughter.
No! Yeah. See?
Yeah. Well, Letitia, how about her?
Yeah.
Well, Letitia's a good daughter, too.
Just not as good?
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's the other perfect daughter.
All right.
She's such a good mom.
Lisa had this to say.
One of these days, she's not going to be here.
Right. And we were like, oh, man, that's a little rough. So we didn't know if today was the day or yesterday. We didn't know. It sounded almost like a veiled threat.
No.
You know, Mother's Day can go on for a long time.
Right.
It's not just one day.
Well, it is just one day. That's why it's called Mother's Day. The day is actually in the title.
All the mothers that the boys don't take care of.
I see.
Yeah, my mom has Mother's Day all the time because of me.
Okay.
Absolutely.
It's like Valentine's Day at my house. Every day is Valentine's Day.
Sure.
But listen, Mom, here's the impression that we get. The impression we get is that Lisa, she says things to you like, well, don't bother buying a gallon of milk because you may not be alive to enjoy the last half, but just go ahead and get a half a gallon. I mean, it just sounds like she's hovering over you waiting to see that last breath. And it's just, I don't know, it just seems, she's a vulture. It's just kind of creepy
really
to us.
She says things like that?
She does.
It seems like it does.
No.
Yeah, it's like, are you going to get a dozen eggs? Just get one.
I mean,
really, 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 really good girl.
Oh,
you really, really, really don't know her.
Yeah, that's for sure. There's stories we could tell you that would put you in the ground.
I don't. It's because of your bad influence.
Yeah, now I was going to ask you about that.
That is a good point, Mom.
I was going to ask you about that because we have corrupted her in a way that is really almost disappointing even to us.
it's astounding what you've done.
It really is. I mean, when she started working with us, she would cry every day because she's a good person and we're not. Then,
and she was so offended by everything that she heard on the radio, and now she's a ringleader. Now she horrifies us with the things she comes up with.
She does.
Well, she does come up with something.
Yeah, right.
I know.
You don't listen, though. You don't listen to the show.
To this show.
Right?
Well, I would, except my little radio at the gym doesn't pick it up.
All right.
See, my mom is working
out.
Working at the gym.
In your last days to work out. That's something. Wow, that's great.
She's hanging on.
Yeah.
You think
I'm not going to die because I work out.
I see.
Stay young. I just do all these different things.
Not according to Lisa.
Listen, Mom, we don't want you to die. We love you and want you to live for a long time.
Yeah.
It's Lisa who's pushing you toward the light.
Just go to the light.
It's not us. It's not us at all. So.
Well, I find I don't believe that.
Thank
you don't
you,
believe
Mom.
That? Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, they're
right.
Just
well, she's willfully blind. All right.
I got to be honest, that contrary to the way Lisa paints it, which is that you can barely get out of bed, you sound like you're very happening, very together, very healthy sounding woman.
Well, I am. Yes. I'm just very, very healthy.
Well, you should have a talk with
her. I'm sorry to disappoint you.
No, you should have a talk with your daughter about the fact that she's presenting you in a completely different light. I mean, really, you should sit her down and go, look, don't tell people I'm dying. I'm not.
Oh, no. That's not what Lisa says. That's what you say.
One of these days, she's not going to be here.
That's Lisa. That's not me.
One of these hours, she's not going to be here.
She didn't say one of these years, did she? No.
Well,
Lisa,
tell you what, it's your influence that she does say.
Oh, how dare you.
Thank you, Mom. Yes, you guys are the worst.
It is. That's true.
Yeah.
Lisa, did you or did you not send your mom the Pro Flowers for Mother's Day early in case she wasn't still on Earth Sunday?
No, I sent them early to make sure that she would get them on time.
You told us that you weren't sure she was going to see Sunday.
So I made sure she had them by Thursday.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Well, okay.
You told us.
Now, I want to tell you something.
Uh-oh. Who, us or Lisa?
Let me tell you something. I was in New York.
Okay.
And I was talking to this young lady. And anyway, she said she was selling advertisement for radios.
Right.
And I said, oh, my daughter's on the radio. And she said, oh, what's her name? And I said, Lisa May. And she said, oh, the Kevin and Bean Show.
What?
She said, you know the Kevin and Bean Show? And she said, oh, yes, everybody knows that. They were the number one.
Wow.
That was a long time ago.
They were the original. And she said, everybody knows who the cabinet being.
And then did she say, I'm sorry to hear about your death? Did she say that to you?
No, she did not.
All right. I'm just,
she said, aren't you just real proud of your daughter? And I said, oh, yes, I just think she's wonderful.
Yeah, that's nice.
That was the best mom ever.
That was a nice lie.
Well, listen, Mom, thank you for coming on. I'm sorry this is going to be your last Mother's Day, assuming you make your Sunday.
Oh, you tiger, you.
Listen, it's not us. We're just going by what your daughter says.
But we're happy to have checked in with you, and we're delighted to hear that you're doing better than she led us to believe. So thank you very much, and have a wonderful Mother's Day weekend, okay?
Thank you for calling.
All right, get to the gym now. Bye-bye. Right. Okay, bye, Mom.
Bye now.
Talk show host and movie reviewer Richard Roper joins us in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show about his new book called Bet the House. This looks like the perfect book for you, Kevin.
Yeah, it's all about
gambling. He does nothing but gamble on every single form of gambling available.
Yep.
So we'll find out how he did when we talk to him in a few minutes. That's going to be a pleasant interview. I'm a little bit concerned about how it's going to go at our Skindervention that we need to do right now with our old friend, Mr. Skin, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show now.
Mr. Skin.com.
Let's face it, we love Mr. Skin more than any humans on Earth. We can't wait to talk to Mr. Skin. I don't care whether you're doing the 10 hottest amputees in the movies, whatever you've got, Mr. Skin.
Hey, we've been seen that. Do that.
Hey, wait, I am working on that.
All right, good.
We have been always happy to promote your great site and to have you on the radio, whatever, but we are outraged by your new list of the 10 hottest bisexual stars, top 10 bisexual female celebrities.
Yeah, I wasn't exactly hottest because Margaret Cho was in there, so.
Well, that was one of our complaints.
Yeah.
So the list goes like this. The list goes Drea De Mateo, number 10 from The Sopranos. Good.
Okay, she's good.
Amber Rose.
Kanye's girlfriend,
right? Yeah. Tila Tequila.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't like her, but
she's a bush.
There are those who think she's attractive.
Yeah, right. There's lots of guys that do.
That's shaky, though, dude, right there. And then Jenna Jameson, cool. Number 6 is Amy Winehouse.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the one that made our eyes bug out. We've been dying to talk to you since we saw the list, Mr. Skin. How does Amy Winehouse end up on this list?
Well, she's, there's a different taste for different guys. You know what I mean?
There's no taste.
You can't say that with Amy Winehouse.
I don't want to think of her with men or women.
Have you seen her with her new breasts?
Yes, I have. I have, but she's still Amy Winehouse. I mean, she looks like a crack whore, Mr. Skid.
That's true.
She's a great singer.
If it was top 10 crack whore celebs.
Yeah, right. I think the Little Miss thing here is that it was not necessarily hottest. These are like celebrities that everyone people are aware they're bisexual.
All right, now we're going to go through the list, but then we have some suggestions and some questions. All right. Number 5 is Megan Mullally.
Yes. Who, by the way, you broke the news to us. We had no idea that she was out as a bisexual. That's for real, huh?
Many quotes from her about that she's hooked up with women many times. So, pretty cool.
Number 4 is a dude, Margaret Cho. Number 3 is Drew Barrymore.
She's had real relationships. Like Jane Pratt from Sassy Magazine and her had a long-term relationship. So she's done it, yeah.
That's a good call.
Number 2 is Lady Gaga.
Mm-hmm.
And number 1 is Anna Paquin.
Yeah, that one got us started because when she announced that, I mean, she's engaged to Stephen Moyer from True Blood, and that I had no clue. That was so cool to hear.
All right, so that's the top 10 list.
Yes.
No.
Okay, so we heard that, and of course, I understand your caveat, Mr. Skin, that they're not necessarily hot; they're just 10 famous bisexual people.
Yes.
But once we saw that list, then we started thinking, I don't know. Lindsay Lohan, for instance, comes to mind as somebody who famously has had relationships with boys and girls and happens to be hotter than about half the people on the list. Why no love for Lolo?
Well, you know, she's actually...
Lilo.
Yeah, she's actually really more lesbian these days. But yeah, I mean, there's plenty. I got a few. Megan Fox is one.
That's the one we were heading for.
Yeah, we were going to beat you.
We were on our way to Megan Fox, and we were going to slap you around with her.
Well, here's the problem.
How do you not put her on the list? You put Margaret Cho on.
Well, but Margaret Cho's been with both. The problem with Megan is her quote was basically that she has a crush on Olivia Wilde. We need some proof she's done it.
We don't.
Yeah.
We don't. We don't need any proof.
Yeah, she's, you're not a scientist.
If she says it, we believe it, and you put it on the list.
Yeah, hey, I believe me. I would love to know that she's been with girls and guys.
She has.
Listen to him.
All of a sudden, you're a scientist. Stop it.
Hey, you know. Well, she was just in Jennifer's Body hooking up with Amanda Seyfried.
Yes, she was.
A very sexy scene, but it has to be in real life.
It was very convincing. Yeah. I bought it.
There's no way she could have been that good in that movie and not have had a woman. I'm sorry, Mr. Scale.
Oh, that's she, she was good. There's no question.
All right, so Lindsay Lohan, Megan Fox. In her day, Madonna.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good
in
one.
In her day, I mean, you know, in the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah,
1880s.
Our fear with Madonna was there get so many guys that say, "Oh, she's too old." She's too
well,
old.
Right, of course. Yeah. That's why that's the caveat is in her day. You can't,
in,
now
yeah, she's in her day.
Now she's beef jerky.
But don't you guys feel that one of the things that's kind of about today that, like, when I was in high school, there wasn't a lot of girl action. Like, it just seems like if any girl under 30 today hasn't had a girl experience, it's
right.
almost weird.
Right.
You know, it's like it's
so
a different time.
So things have gotten much better.
Yeah, if you're under 30 and you haven't hooked up with a girl, it's strange.
Get to it.
Yeah. And by the way, that's great. That's great piece of advice for the ladies listening in the audience today. That's a mission from Mr. Skin to you. Is come on, get on the stick. Otherwise, you're a weirdo if you're not with a chick.
No, I'm not a weirdo. I was just listening to an interview from Erica Lancelotti, the girl that's with Ryan or dating Ryan Seacrest, and she just admitted she's been with girls. It's almost like an aside, like, oh yeah, I've been with girls a few times. I've tried it, you know.
She's so, with a girl now. Are you kidding me?
All right, how about Fergie from the Black Eyed Peas?
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Did you put together this list or did you farm it out? Be honest.
It was.
You have a staff writer that's not doing their work.
It was a staff of skin turns. Right?
You need to have a. You need to have a talking with them.
Yeah. No, Fergie's a good one too. And like you said, to just get 10, it's tough to narrow it down to 10 because you can do another list of 10 and they'd
right.
be equally
but,
good.
Here's what we're saying. If you have Margaret Cho on the list at Amy Winehouse, just do a top 8.
Good point.
There's, hey, you got to give some love.
There's no reason why it has to be 10 if there aren't 10.
That's right. And our bigger point is, of course, there are 10. And we reject you totally for not including the lists of the ladies that we've mentioned here. All right, MrSkin.com is where you want to go for all of the hottest chicks, nude or close to nude, in TVs and movies for a dollar a day. Frankly, it's the best site on the Internet. Mr. Skin, we love you, man. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Pleasure. Okay, guys, take care.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. From time to time, we have to go to you, the Kevin and Bean listener, to help us make a decision when we are rocked to our core in the office. And this is one of those cases. We have random callers on hold who do not know why they called in yet, because we attempt to make it as random as possible. We don't want people calling in who already have a strong opinion planned before they get a chance to hear what the issues are. Kevin, you want to start, or we want to let Dave
yes.
present
no,
his idea?
I'll do it.
Okay.
Dave is the assistant producer here, and he kind of does a lot with the website.
Yes.
And then when we do Internet Roundup, he finds them and posts them and puts it up and everything. So he's got a lot of links and a lot of different things. So he's decided that he's going to start his own little corner.
Mm-hmm.
And because the rest of us don't enjoy the cute animal videos quite as much as him.
And by the rest of us, you mean you, because I love them.
Okay. Good with that.
All right, so the girls are sticking together on this
right. one. So Dave decided what he's going to do is put up his own corner, and he's going to call it Cute Corner.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be videos of cute animals acting all cute and
yes.
whatnot.
Kevin, now, people love it. The business line was ringing.
No one was calling.
I started it yesterday for the Internet Roundup, and I had a pug pushing a stroller.
Come on. Shut up, Lisa. Come on.
Tell me that is not awesome.
Totally cute.
I would expect Lisa to find that and think it's cute.
Mike likes it.
Mike's gay.
Can you tell me
Bean,
that?
Help me here. You're on my
can
side,
can you
right?
tell me that hamster on a piano was not awesome?
I got to be honest, Dave. No one loves animals more than I do.
It was not awesome.
I don't care for any of – I don't watch any of those videos. I've got no interest in those videos of the cat playing with the yarn or with the hamster on the piano or all – I mean, I don't – I know you're into like the panda cam and all this stuff.
Yeah.
I'm just frankly too busy to watch video – to spend my time on a computer watching – you know, hedgehogs run around a room. I just don't have that kind of time or that much interest.
Well, that's because you're busy taking photos of your dogs.
And you're dead inside. So, you know, I'm just saying, man, like, look, it's a long day at work. And then I turn on the surprise kitty. Bam! I feel much better. Okay. And I'm more productive.
Surprise kitty is a perfect example of who cares? Who cares?
I do.
Who cares that this guy can poke his kitty and his kitty looks surprised?
That is so cute. So
look,
cute.
Here's why there's a line in the sand, and here's why we're going to go to the callers in a minute and take five calls to determine whether the cute quarter. And by the way, that's cute with a K and corner with a K, thanks to King with a K. All right. Here's why it's a line in the sand, though. Is that what we want to put on KevinandBean.com to represent our show? Is that something that says, "Hey, this is my show. This is the radio program that I listen to. This is the kind of content I expect from Kevin."
Well,
Bean.
You know, it's just at the end of the internet roundup. When you're looking at a bunch of bad people, you know, and are funny things, and then it's just something to leave you on a good note. Leave you on a good note.
Hey, King.
Yes.
You have a Twitter account, don't you?
I do.
You could put them up there.
I could link.
All day.
I could link the cute corner to my Twitter account.
You could
it's a good idea, Kevin. I'm doing it right now.
But just put
I'm going to do it right
Twitter.
Now. Good idea.
Yeah. Couldn't you put this on Seacrest site or someplace where it's a better fit, though? It doesn't go with what Kevin and Bean are all about.
Cute corner.
But it does with the King of Mexico.
And the name the cute corner. Come on.
All right. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. We're going to take five callers to determine whether Dave's cute corner with, you know, penguins wearing tuxedos ends up at KevinandBean.com. Marilyn gets the first vote. She is online. Well, we'll just take them in order here. Marilyn, what say you? Are you down with the cute corner or do you not want it on KevinandBean.com?
Yeah, boy.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Is that a yes?
Woo! I love them.
Yes.
I love them.
Thank you, Marilyn.
I can't get enough.
All right. I can't hear you. Can anyone hear Marilyn?
Yeah, she said yeah.
That's a one yes for the cute quarter. I was hoping we wouldn't get one, but let's try Lisa, line three. Hi, Lisa. Welcome to the show. You've heard both sides of the argument. What do you say to the cute corner on KevinandBean.com?
All right. Whoa. That's what I want to say.
That's
as well.
Your people, by the way.
But you can't say the F word, Lisa, on the radio, no matter how strongly you disagree with Dave.
I am with Lisa, and sometimes that's the only word that works.
No one heard that on air, so
did
it count?
People that didn't hear it, it was
did
F
it count?
No.
Did it count? No one heard it on air.
One to one.
That was an F no. Jordan, all right, let's get a guy in here, a right-thinking American man in here to vote. Hi, Jordan. Welcome to the show. What say you about the cute corner?
I'm a 25-year-old male. Am I the target demographic?
Yes. Yes, you are.
Why the F would I want a cute corner?
Thank you.
You're filled with hate, my friend. If you would watch the pug, you would be all happy.
2-1.
All right. Who knows?
He was bitter about something.
Now.
Yeah, we only need one more. No, Dave. Just one more.
Sheila?
Let's go to a guy.
Nope, Sheila. Line. I said we were going to take him in order to be as random as possible. Though. Sheila, line five. We got 2-1 right now. No. What do you say about Dave's cute corner? Before you answer, that's cute with a K and corner with a K. Keep that in mind.
But we can't be responsible for his bad naming, but I don't see who it hurts.
It hurts us. It hurts me personally, and
thank
it hurts
you, Sheila.
Bean personally.
There's enough bad crap on the internet. It's nice to see something that's not bad.
Yes. Yeah. It leaves you with a good feeling.
So Sheila, your vote counts, and we accept it as a yes, but just as a follow-up question. So when you go to KevinandBean.com, what you want to see is a gerbil running around with a hat on, right? I mean, that's the kind of – that's what you're coming to our site for content,
and
right?
And to get there, you're going to click on cute with a K,
A K. Listen, it's not its own post. It's just at the end of the internet roundup. That's it.
Yeah, let's not do that.
Yeah, just at the end.
If
one you little
don't
video.
Look at it, don't go there.
Yeah.
Very scary.
See, here's the difference. Sheila. Here's the problem with Sheila is that it doesn't represent her. This represents us and the radio station.
Yeah, but
you have all the stuff you have. It's just one little thing.
Yeah, and it's bad and needs to be destroyed.
Why would we spend the half of 1% of bandwidth at KevinandBean.com on, you know, Dave's gerbil with a hat on if we could put another picture of Katy Perry up? I mean, seriously, right?
But pictures won't be there. It's part of the internet around it. I mean, it's hidden within a post. It's not even. You know,
can it be
page.
Hidden, not on the website?
All right. Here's the problem as we get ready to go to perhaps the final vote here, and that is that the polls have closed. It's too close to call, and we're just waiting for California to come in to tell us who the next president of the United States is. Danny gets our final vote
on
line six. Danny, yes or no to Dave's cute corner?
No.
Yes!
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 He said yes!
Woo! He said no!
God.
Suck it!
That was close. That was close.
Take it down, bitch.
It's going to my Twitter account.
That was Kevin and Bean's scientific survey.
Actor Russell Brand talking Get Him to the Greek and fiancée Katy Perry coming up in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Your chance at Weenie Rose and backstage passes on the way. And we'll preview the NBA Finals with ESPN.com's Bill Simmons. All that coming up in the next few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, Psycho Mike's new obsession. How'd you find this video, Mike? And how did it change your life forever?
I think a listener actually just, you know, said, hey, check out this video, which we get a lot of. And I don't often, you know, investigate it any further. But once I saw this video, I realized that these are the best musicians ever. And it's one of the best videos I've ever seen on YouTube called Big Booty Bitches.
Now, here's the problem. The problem is that for the first 40 seconds, 30 to 40 seconds, it's sort of annoying.
It's a little repetitive.
It's very repetitive. It's a little annoying, and you go, all right, I'm out.
Right.
That's a mistake.
That's what happened to me.
Right.
I got to be honest. I've not seen the part where it gets amazing.
That's the mistake. If you hang around till 50 seconds to a minute, then from then on, it's just gold. Now,
you
might not be able to tell any difference in the song, but the visual is so great. It's two dudes. They're standing in their living room. One guy has a keyboard. He starts like a pre-program just by hitting one button. That's it. Like, that's his participation. And then these two dudes are just dancing to the song Big Booty Bitches, which is a little repetitious.
But easy to learn.
It is very easy to learn, yes. But it is a must watch. You have to see it and don't quit until the end of it. And trust us when we say then, you'll be ruined for life. You'll be singing this song for the rest of your life. Go to kevinandbean.com to see it. Here's a little bit of what the song sounds like. I think it's the next big hit.
One, two, three.
I got big booty bitches, big booty bitches. I got big.
They certainly are throwing their hands in the air like they just don't care. I'll tell you that.
The dance is fantastic, first of all.
They're amazing.
Second of all, that's 30 seconds. Okay. It's already repetitious, right? That's why you would want to bail.
Right.
But I don't know how it comes around, but to me it does. And
go
get
a drink, come back, and keep watching.
Nope. Stay there. I'm telling you.
Well,
I'm just saying
kill the first minute.
I'm saying you have to stick through the first 45 seconds of pain to get to the beauty. And it's by the way, the beauty, no different than the pain. But for some reason, the length of it makes it better, and the dancing as well.
Didn't they have written some lyrics?
They did. What's wrong with
you? Okay, sorry.
You're listening to them. And by the way, wait till the change.
We don't want no skinny bitches. Little bitches, get out.
We don't want no skinny bitches. Little bitches, get out. They don't want that. They're not into skinny. They want heavy women.
Cause we don't want no skinny bitches. Yeah, yeah. Big booty bitches. Yeah, big booty bitches. Big booty bitches. Big booty bitches. Big booty bitches. Little waist. Big booty bitches. Little waist. Big booty bitches.
Now that's where we find out what they mean by 300 pounds.
Yeah, it's a big woman.
Yeah.
300 pounds. Oh.
That's more than booty.
300 pounds, oh.
You're going to find yourself today, by the way. You're going to be walking around wherever you are. You're going to be at work or whatever. And
cursing you.
Even if you hate the song and you're not thrilled with the word bitch. You're going to be singing it all day.
I got it.
All right, here's my favorite part right here. Here's where it really comes alive.
Booty bitches, I got big booty bitches, big booty bitches, I got big booty bitches,
long hair, booty bitches. All right, long hair, Bean. There you go. There's some lyrics.
Here's what I like. Somewhere in this great country of ours, the next Kurt Cobain is working feverishly on a brilliant song, okay? He can't get five guys to listen to it. These jackasses put this video up on YouTube. A couple days ago, it was already at 4 million views, okay?
4 million people.
These jackasses can dance.
Bitches.
They can dance. The dance, the visual of them in their living room, the keyboard guy really doing nothing except for dancing. He's not really playing the keyboard.
Throw up hair, no hair, I don't care.
A, press stop, but B, please don't let that song get stuck in my head today. Please don't let that happen.
We don't want no skinny bitches. We don't want no skinny bitches. We don't want no skinny bitches.
Here's the thing. They don't want skinny bitches.
No, I
oh,
got
is that,
that
what you're getting
That's
from?
What I did understand.
Bitches,
yeah.
Get out.
Just, they don't even want them in the room.
Yeah, get out.
Get out. Go away from me.
Bitches, oh.
What do they like? Big.
Big.
That's what they like.
Bitches, booty, bitches, I got big booty bitches. Oh. Bitches, booty, bitches, big booty bitches.
Oh. Message received.
She's doing the dance?
She's doing the dance.
Miss Cleo's doing the dance. I'm telling you. Go or don't, but I'm telling you, it's going to sweep the planet. And this
I'm telling you, put Miss Cleo in the video doing the dance. Now I'm watching. That's what I'm telling you.
On the streets.
See, being on the club in the streets, both.
Show me some love. Give me hugs.
Enough?
Enough.
Give me hugs.
No such thing.
Big booty bitches, show some boys some love. Yeah.
No, not really.
Not really? 300 pounds? No? You're saying no?
All right.
What a 6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 7:38.
Another look at the Showbiz Beat coming up, and then Chad Ochocinco joins us at the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. You know, Kevin, when most people think of the Final Four, they think of men's college basketball,
sure,
which just completed with Duke winning the national championship a few days ago. Well, that's not the Final Four I'm interested in. I'm interested in the MTV Rock, Paper, Scissors Final Four, a tough field of 78 competitors, ladies and gentlemen, and the winner of $25,000 and Rock, Paper, Scissors champion is on the phone with us right now.
No way.
Brittany Kraft, ladies and gentlemen.
Brittany, nice.
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Bean.
How are you?
How are you, my dear?
Good. How are you?
First of all, you're hot, and thank you for being on the program, because we love it when we get to talk to hot chicks.
Awesome.
Second of all, you went down to Acapulco for spring break and had no idea your life was about to change. Am I right?
That's right.
Did you know about the Rock, Paper, Scissors Championship they were doing?
I had absolutely no idea, you know, and they had went to 14 college campuses before spring break for this Rock, Paper, Scissors tournament, and so I had absolutely no idea.
Did you ever play Rock, Paper, Scissors?
I can't remember the last time. Before spring break, I played Rock, Paper, Scissors. But since then, I've played multiple times a day.
You won 25,
bet. Everyone challenges you.
$25,000.
Yes. It's insane.
But wouldn't this be like me driving out to Augusta, Georgia this week and going, guys, I don't really play golf, but go ahead and let me in the tournament, and then I end up winning the thing.
No.
I mean, that's what it's like, though, is an amateur basically crashes an event with lots of people who probably spent a lot of time, and she ends up winning it. You're like World Series of Poker. You're like the waitress who wins the World Series of Poker.
Exactly. I just came in. They didn't even see it coming.
They didn't see you.
So how many, what are they called, games or matches or what in your sport, Brittany?
I'm pretty sure they are called matches, and you have to do the best three out of three.
Right.
Sorry, if you hear that.
What's
noise.
That alarm? Is it a fire alarm? You need us to send help.
I'm in my grad chum for teaching.
Okay.
And someone was getting into the school, and a big buzzer goes off. So. Yeah.
All right, good.
I got you. Okay, Brittany is a college student, as I understand, at Eastern Illinois University. That's where she's speaking with us today. Okay, so how many matches did you have to win to get to the finals?
You have to do, with each person, the best three out of three. So you could potentially play up to 9 rock, paper, scissors, shoot against one person. But because I'm so good, I didn't have to play that
much. You just took people down.
Wow.
Of course, right. Yeah. Now, do you have, I don't want to give away any professional secrets here, but do you have a strategy at all?
I would say there was a bit of a strategy involved, and more just the way that you have to think about the game. So I think I did have one.
Okay. Are there a lot of women in the rock, paper, scissors sport, or are you a little bit of an anomaly to be a champion as a girl?
Well, for the Final Four, and it took place, the preliminaries was down by the beach, but the Final Four was up by the Amp Energy pool party, and it was a lot of fun. And I was the only girl to ever be in the Final Four.
Nice. Wow.
And then I took it all the way home, so nice. That was exciting.
Nice.
How about that? Do you play in a swimsuit, Brittany?
I did. And I had really sweet shades and an Amp Energy hat on. So
all right. So yeah. you're looking the part.
Yeah.
So what happens now? Where do you – I mean, I feel like you're the you know, the UConn women's college basketball team that won the championship again last night. What do they do now? The seniors graduate, and they do what with their sport? Where are you going to take rock, paper, scissors next now that you're already the champ?
You know, I can't decide if I should just retire, you know, stop while I'm ahead and I'm on top.
Right.
Or continue. You know, but as of right now, I'm fortunate to pay off all my college loans, so continue – with
that's
my
great.
Education.
That's
and
crazy.
Becoming a teacher.
Because there are tournaments all over, right?
Yeah, you could go pro. Go.
Isn't there a world championship that's in Vegas
or
something?
There are. I think it might have been held in Canada. I was looking on the, you can go through Amp Energy and look at the rock, paper, scissors, and it tells you all about history, and I'm pretty sure there's tournaments in Canada.
Were you drinking a lot? Were you drinking a lot while playing?
Was drinking a lot of Amp Energy.
He's good. She's right.
Smell a sponsor.
It was great. I never had the juice, and I really suggest you try it. The orange.
All right, take it easy.
I think you do need to go for the world championship, though. I mean, it's great to be the champion of America, but honestly, I think it's time to take it worldwide, Britt.
I definitely have. I think I have a good fan crowd that would support and back me up on that. So maybe,
all right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Make a run for it.
All right, have you played any, by the way, you prefer rock, paper, scissors or Rochambeau? I don't know how traditional you are.
You know what? I didn't even know that Rochambeau stood for rock, paper, scissors. So now I like to refer to it because it seems a little cooler, I think. You know, no one really knows what that means.
Nobody knows what that means.
Okay. All right, before we let you go, Brittany, and again, Brittany Kraft, BK Kraft, is the champion at the MTV Spring Break of Rock, Paper, Scissors. Have you played any games on the phone in your tour discussing your win?
Have not, but there's a first time for everything.
All right.
Lisa, you want to take her on?
Let's try it.
All right.
We got a little girl-on-girl Rochambeau action here.
Are we doing, first of all, it's rock, paper, scissors, shoot. So I'm going to say we'll do rock, paper, scissors,
okay.
Shoot, and then we'll say what we're going to throw.
Okay, so on shoot, okay. you say.
Yeah, I'll show Kevin what I'm doing, and then you say what you
did. Well, why don't you just go ahead and say it? Why don't you say it, but both say it at the same time? How about that?
Okay. Exactly.
All right. Here we go.
Okay. That's the way to go.
So
are we going to do the best out of three?
Best
out of three.
Okay. Now, do you want one of us to say rock, paper, scissors, shoot?
Or
yes,
we do?
Because actually during the tournament, I never wanted to say it. I was always just the one that
threw
the
well, you got to concentrate.
But do you throw on shoot or do you throw after shoot?
You throw on shoot.
On shoot.
Well, you throw on shoot.
Okay, good.
I think it would be weird to say rock, paper, scissors and then the actual thing. So let's do shoot and then say it.
All right.
And then we would have.
All right, we ready?
Okay.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Best of three.
Okay.
Bean, go ahead. Be the announcer, man.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Rock.
Paper.
Okay, that's one for Lisa.
Lisa!
Well done. All right. best of three. Rock,
okay.
Paper, scissors, shoot.
Rock.
Paper.
Rock.
I believe I heard Lisa with paper again.
Yep. She kicked your ass.
She kicked your ass with two in a row. Do we even have to play the third?
No.
Lisa is the new champion of rock, paper, scissors, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow. Can you send her the $25,000?
Yes, I would. You know, too bad you can't take all of my winnings.
Oh, that is a shame. Wow. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. I wish there were a way to hit fast forward. I wish real life were more like a DVR. We could hit fast forward 1 hour to when Olivia Munn is here. Because it would smell so good in here.
It would, yes. But we'd miss the 7 o'clock hour comedy.
I would be willing to give up the 7 o'clock hour to get to Olivia Munn in the 8 o'clock hour, to tell you the truth.
But then you'll say something creepy and then she'll...
No, not at all.
Oh, no.
All right. Kevin's got a complaint. What's the problem?
Have you heard Bad Romance by Lady Gaga?
Yes, I have.
I'm not a Lady Gaga hater, like Poker Face. Okay, you know what she does for what she does, just that poppy dance European.
She does
stuff.
Well.
She does it well.
Yeah.
But this particular song is nonsense. Ra ra ah ah ah, Roma Roma Gaga.
what you're saying is
I had heard that before.
What you're saying is, hey, maybe before you go into the studio to record, go ahead and jot down some lyrics.
Ga ga la la ma 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 ra ra ra
ra ra ra ma ra ma ma ga ga ooh la la what you about romance.
And it goes on like that for, you know,
no,
I don't
she
know.
Said ooh la la.
She did say ooh la la.
That means something.
What does that mean?
So you're,
ooh la la, that's what it means.
So your point is not a song as much as a sketch of an idea of what could one day be a song once you go back and finish it. That's your problem.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of, instead of writing lyrics, let's just put nonsense in there for half the song.
Because then you go, what does it mean?
Right,
it really doesn't mean anything.
And then those are the songs that get stuck in your head all day.
True.
So you're driving around going, da, da, ra, ra, man, you can't stop it.
So we got an email from a listener suggesting an instant request, a Kevin and Bean instant request. We do these every once in a while where somebody comes up with a good idea, and we try to hook them up with it.
Listen up, everyone.
New instant.
Make a request.
Instant request. Kevin and Bean.
Instant request.
I believe we have Lady Gaga on the phone.
Oh.
Right now.
Awesome.
Right?
Blah, 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 blah. Rama, humba, da, da, bla, limba, da, rakam, bunda, bunda.
And hello to you. And who's the instant who's the instant request asking for with Lady Gaga?
Well, I think you know Anthony Kiedis.
Oh!
These are twins separated at birth.
Seriously.
Because he just fills up his songs with nonsense, as does she.
That's right, I do.
Anthony, how did you end up with Lady Gaga? Do you guys know each other? How are you together?
Well, I was sipping some kombucha on my porch,
mm-hmm.
and the sunset talked to me
right.
and told me, and I thought, what about the solstice? What about love?
We don't know what you're talking
about. What about sunflowers?
Not right now. But what about the Lady Gaga question?
Wait, was that Lady Gaga or was that Anthony Kiedis? Which one was that?
That was the Gags.
Lady Gaga, do you have any questions for Anthony Kiedis? And Anthony Kiedis, what is your response to that question?
California.
They are perfect together.
They really are.
Are you guys? You guys should start dating. Oh, good. Nicely done. Thank you both for your time.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show with your chance to win tickets for the Weenie Roast and backstage passes coming up in about a half an hour. Hey, how about Russell Brand? How about Russell Brand joining us back on the Kevin and Bean Show? Get him to the Greek, opening up everywhere tomorrow. Hey, Russell, how are you, man?
How's it going, chaps? You all right?
Doing very well. We're good.
We're doing great. It's always great to catch up with you. I was very confused this week when I was out shopping for new music releases, and I saw an Infant Sorrow album. Your character plays the lead singer of that band in the Get Him to the Greek movie, but you've got an actual album out. I'm confused. What's going on?
Well, to make this film authentic, we had to record about 20 songs. About five of them were written by Jason Segel, who wrote Sarah Marshall and is the star of Sarah Marshall. Some were written by Jarvis Cocker frontman, Pulp frontman Jarvis Cocker, and some was written by Carl Barat from the band The Libertines. The songs in this movie are an integral part, and they're really, really funny. So they released an album of me pretending to be a rock star, Infant Sorrow, Live at the Greek. It's good.
And do you actually, I mean, do you feel like you're an actor up there playing a rock star, or when you're doing stuff like this, you actually feel like you're a musician now?
Exactly. When I'm up there, I pretend, so that I don't feel nervous, what I do is I go, right, I'm a musician. If I was an actual musician, I would not feel nervous and just pretend that I actually am one, and it really works. And the other thing I do, say you've got to do a kissing scene, like you've got to kiss a girl, right?
Right.
I just kiss the girl. Just don't do any acting.
That's great.
The girl, it's really good fun.
That is the best way to do it. Russell, we were supposed to talk to you, I don't know, a couple of weeks back, And you had to cancel for some reason, but we just wanted you to know that there was someone walking the halls and doing an impression of you and acting like
they were you.
Right.
I know what's going on.
I got a little clip of it. I want to play it for you.
Yeah, this is Russell, and I'm here to talk about my girlfriend Katy Perry and her record, you know, Teenage Dream. It comes out August 24th. Check out her new single with Snoop Dogg.
I'm surprised you're not talking more about your movie,
California
Russell,
Girls.
Considering that's coming up.
Oh, you know, that's just, you know.
Not
whatever.
Important.
Not
important.
Record, not, huh? Whatever, you know, whatever.
She threw you under the bus.
Sounds to me like during that interview, I was drunk or perhaps suffering temporarily from brain damage.
Yes, it does, actually. But you looked great.
You looked better than you've ever looked that day that you came in, Russell.
I sometimes cross-dress in a gaudy fashion.
Hey, we so much enjoyed spending a few minutes with Katy the other day when she came in. She is so much fun. You're a lucky bastard.
Thank you very much. You know, there is a downside to the relationship. She's a phenomenal bully, and she can be quite uncompromising. But she is ultimately the love of my life, so I'm quite grateful.
We asked her if the rumors were true that you were the crazy wedding planner, and she said that she made that up. She lied about it.
Do you know what? Good. I'm glad she admitted that. She should work for the government because she can spread information and rumors better than anyone I've ever known. I think she should go and work for the CIA and introduce crack into impoverished communities.
Maybe she's already done that.
She's like one of the most manipulative people. She's like, it's like going out with Henry Kissinger.
No, it's not.
it is crazy, though, that we, as a society and all around the world, not just America, we're so obsessed with celebrities that all it takes is one tweet and everybody goes into a frenzy and believes everything that is written these days.
She's a nightmare. Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a peculiar indictment of our culture. Yeah, we are all obsessed with celebrities. Why are we so obsessed? I think it's being used to distract us from important things.
Could
like
be.
That terrible oil spill,
yeah.
Or the, you know, the way that our freedoms are constantly being impeded. It's used to distract us, I think, and I'm sorry to be a part of it.
Well, I'll tell you, when the news first broke that you and Katy were together, we said no, first of all. And then I was watching a West Ham United game, and there you were with her, and I was like, what?
Yeah, she comes to football. She's proper cool. She's a laugh. That's why I put up with all the rumors and skullduggery and backstabbing and trickery and monogamy.
Well, that's the worst sacrifice for a guy like you. Now, Russell, let me ask you this. As a hardcore soccer fan and as a proud United Kingdom citizen, are you clearing your calendar for the 4 weeks of the World Cup? Will you do nothing else but watch soccer during that month?
Well, actually, my next film, Arthur, is starting then, but we've got a special clause in our contract where if England reach the semi-finals, I'm allowed to take the time off and go out to South Africa and watch England compete in the latter stages of the World Cup. Honestly, yeah. I love football.
Yeah, and you're right. Do you still write the column for The Guardian about that or no?
Nah. I stopped doing that. It was too much pressure. It's like writing that every week. You know? It's like, do you ever do any writing? It's not hard. And I've like just written another book as well.
Like
a second part of my autobiography. So writing, also you're on your own when you do writing. Yeah. And if I sit on my own in a room with a computer, the internet has got a lot of distractions on it.
Yes, it does.
Well, that is true. Of course, I'm hoping for a great showing from the Americans, but my whole life I have secretly hoped to see England win another World Cup. It's shocking to me that the country where soccer has been so popular for so long has only ever won one World Cup. I can't imagine what that place would be like if they even got into the finals.
It would be euphoric. The thing that makes me angry is we invented football. It's our game, and now other teams are better than us. Italy, Brazil, Spain, Germany,
yeah.
France, they've all surpassed us, and sometimes we even lose to teams that aren't as good as us. So I think we should take the game back and not let anyone else play it. Like with you, with the World Series and the Super Bowl, only American teams can participate.
Correct.
We should take football back and let other people let us win.
Wow, that seems like a bad sport, though, no?
That does seem slightly churlish, yeah.
This is the voice of actor Russell Brand on the phone. We're talking to him about, among other things, his film Get Him to the Greek, which opens everywhere tomorrow. We had your friend Jonah Hill in the studio last week, and he was very honest with us, and he said, look, guys, I don't go out there and lie, and I'm telling you, this movie is one of the best things I've ever done. It's hilarious, and I'm happy to promote it. He was very, very pleased with the way it came out. I hope you are as well.
Yeah, I'm thrilled about it. I mean, Jonah is, like, he's, I think, one of the best comic actors around, Jonah Hill. You know, I think he's going to be, like, a massive, massive star. And he's fantastic in this film. It's brilliant. And also, P. Diddy's in it, and you would not expect him to be funny. He's hilariously funny.
We asked him about that. We asked him about P. Diddy, because to us, he always seemed like he was pretty self-involved and not funny. But he said that he really came in, tried out for the role, and just nailed it.
He's hilarious. I thought that I only knew Diddy from the TV and newspapers or whatever, and like his, you know, his videos and his work. I thought this guy's going to be serious, but he said he's so funny in the film. He's a really great. He's a nice man, you know, Diddy. I like him.
Well, we have a clip, and this is Jonah Hill and you talking about, I guess, his critiquing of your music.
This is a good bit.
And this is how what he thought, and then your response to him.
Honestly, I listened to that, and I'm just like, what was he thinking?
In future, if someone asks you to give them a critique of their work, don't rip out their gizzards and hold it in front of their face. What are you? What do you know?
I'm sorry, look, I don't know what I'm talking about.
What you did was very spiteful, but it was also very brave and very honest, and I respect you for doing that, but the content of what you said has made me hate you.
The band in the movie is called Infant Sorrow. The soundtrack is available everywhere in stores and available for download. And see Russell Brown and Jonah Hill in the movie called Get Him to the Greek. That opens everywhere tomorrow. Russell, always great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show, man. Thanks so much for coming on, dude.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. And it was lovely to hear that clip of Katie doing an impression. I'm going to get her for that.
Please do.
Get Him to the Greek starts tomorrow everywhere. Thanks, Russell. We appreciate it.
Dave's making a lot of Farmville friends, by the way. A lot of love out there for Dave and his Farmville. Apparently, we're on the outside of this one, Kevin.
Oh, I know. All right. Listen, 70 million people a month. That's crazy.
Yeah. It is insane. Hey, big hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Our friend Lewis Black is going to be here talking about something called Stark Raving Black, his new special in minutes. Also, your chance at Green Day Rock Band later in the hour. Are you familiar with, a lot of people love these greeting cards. I find them extremely annoying. They're little animated figures named Hoops and Yo-Yo. Have you guys seen these talking cards you open up and they scream at you?
I've seen the ones where they have music in them. They play a song or something.
Right. Well, these are little characters that talk, and they're very, very popular. They sell millions of cards for Hallmark. And they've got a graduation card that's been out for 3 years now that has been in the news a little bit lately. And Hoops and Yo-Yo are it's an outer space-themed graduation card. So you look on the front of the greeting card, and you see a picture of Saturn, and you see, hey, graduate, congratulations, you're going to take over the world. And then you open up the card, and you hear a little bit of Hoops and Yo-Yo. It's a little bit hard to hear, but here's the audio that you hear in the card.
This graduate's going to run the world, run the universe, and run everything after that, whatever that is.
So this graduate's going to run the world, run the universe, and run everything after that, whatever that is what Hoops and Yo-Yo say.
Wow. Black holes, you're so ominous.
You black holes, you're so ominous.
Congratulations!
Congratulations, get ready to take
over
the world.
What's happening?
Look out, planets, watch your back, okay? So that's the theme of the card. It's been in stores for 3 years.
Watch your back? What are they going to do to the planet?
What does that mean?
Well, because the graduate is so powerful that nothing can stop him. He's so powerful, he's not only going to take over the world, as they say, he's going to take over the whole solar system.
Does it say, did you speed it up or make it more annoying?
No, that's what those cards sound like. That's the Hoops and Yo-Yo character, right? So you may not like the card. You may not choose to buy the card.
Right.
But can you imagine why it's in the news now and why it's being pulled from Hallmark stores all over the country?
Because Pluto doesn't exist anymore and it mentions it?
No.
Oh. No.
Because people have had conniption fits when they heard that?
Yeah. Good.
A graduation card sold at local stores has been pulled from shelves after a civil rights group raised concerns about the content. The group claims the card's micro speaker plays a greeting that's racist. And I would use word of Aaron Hernandez explains why this card has come under attack.
Now, we have for years on the Kevin and Bean Show, one of the standing jokes about people who find racism everywhere is why the hole got to be black, right?
Right?
Because when you hear black hole, which it says in the card, when it says look out black hole.
No.
Why the hole got to be black? Is there a way to look at that and go, well, that's clearly demeaning to African Americans?
Oh, only if you're crazy.
It's an astronomy. It's a card based on an astronomy theme. It has planets. It has black holes. It has take over the world. It has the solar system. It has little pictures of Saturn on it.
Everything's good but the hole.
Everything? Well, that's what she said.
It is a graduation greeting from Hallmark.
Hey, world, we're officially putting you on notice. Yeah!
members of the Los Angeles NAACP did take notice. And as characters known as Hoops and Yo-Yo banter on, African-American leaders hear demeaning language.
Demeaning language.
Oh.
God, you need to pay attention to the important stuff and let this crap go.
See, but Lisa, that's...
This is so tragic.
That's... And the people who should be the most angry are the people who actually have to face racism.
I agree. This
because they're
not,
spending their time on this.
My God.
Oh, wait, I hate these people
wait,
so much.
Wait till you hear how angry they are about the black whores. I mean, black holes.
And you black holes. You're so ominous. And you planet, watch your back.
That was very demeaning to African-American women. Where they made reference to African-American women as whores. And at the end says... Watch your back.
Okay.
They couldn't even understand what it was actually saying.
Nope.
They didn't say,
this is a joke.
It's not a joke. This guy's the Los Angeles chapter of the NAACP. He says it's demeaning to African-American women. They call them black whores. And at the end, they say, watch your back. Which, of course, is what they're saying to the planets in the card. Because, again, it's an astronomy theme. Not a joke, kids.
So Hallmark, reached by phone, says it is all a misunderstanding. The card's theme is the solar system and the power of the grad to take over the universe, even energy-absorbing black holes.
Wait, who did you just call a whore? Excuse me.
Did
Excuse
he really
me,
think
right
they
here.
Said whore?
And no one told him differently? Like, no one leaned over and went, that's whole.
I watched the whole press conference, and I saw person after person get up on this stage for the NAACP, and they said, oh, I know that Hallmark tells you that it says black hole, but I'm telling you that lots of people who open up this card, they hear whore. They don't hear whole. Again, I'd like to remind you that the card has been in stores for 3 years. Nobody ever complained until last week. There was one person in Chicago who said, wait a minute, I'm offended by this. I think I've just been called a black whore when all I'm trying to do is buy a graduation card for my son.
That is...
Wow.
That's just unspeakable.
That just happened.
That didn't happen. You're making this up. It's from The Onion. It's from Funny or Die. Come on.
The intent here is to say, this graduate's not afraid of anything.
But that is not what was heard here.
And you hear the R in there, which is whores, and not holes. The R is in there.
You hear the R in there, guys. It's not holes. It's clearly whores. And by the way, they're not even trying to say that it's black hose,
no.
Which is, you know, the euphemism for whore. They're actually hearing the word whore instead of hole.
Wow.
Are they going to pull it?
It's gone.
Oh, my God.
It's gone. Listen up.
Hallmark sent us this transcript, but Minnie Hatley says the actual audio raises questions.
It sounds like a group of children laughing and joking about blackness again.
Hallmark is now notifying all its stores to pull the card. Walgreens and CVS are doing the same. The card maker says the card has been out for 3 years. This is the first time they've received a complaint.
Yeah.
In any situation where there is a circumstance that we need to be sensitive to, we try to learn from that experience.
Why don't you not be sensitive in this case, Hallmark, and just say, pick up a science book. They're called black holes, okay? And that's clearly what's going on in the card.
It's a scientific term. See, here's what angers me. It doesn't anger me so much that they're complaining, because there are people who've decided there's racism in everything, and they will find it, and they complain. But what should happen is Hallmark should say, it's a scientific term. We're really sorry you misunderstood.
You're wrong.
And that's it. And just let it go.
But they don't. They all roll over.
And it wouldn't make any sense at all in that context to call someone a black whore. If you're buying a graduation card for a teenager, why would you put that in a card? What makes them think that that would be in the card? So look, here's what we're saying. And I'm sure you've done a lot of good work, Los Angeles chapter of the NAACP.
But you're out?
Stop it.
Yes.
All right? That's what we're saying is stop it.
Wow.
Stop it.
That's so hard to believe that that's real.
I know.
Oh, I hate them so much.